Mike and Leona gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Leona gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for episode 2 of Survivor 41. We're keeping the 4 in there, Jeff. I'm sorry, I'm not dropping it anytime soon. My name is Mike Bloom, here to break down a season that keeps on chugging along like a train through a tunnel, and many other metaphors that we brought up over the course of this podcast. Of course, I am joined by my one and only, my ride or die, someone who, even if she didn't have a vote, I would still make sure to keep her around, Leona Boris. Leona, how are you?
Doing great. Thankfully, my voice is in okay shape. I'm not as hoarse as Jeff was. You know, no little Sebastians over here. So I'm ready to go and ready to talk about Survivor.
And I'm so excited to bring this guy back. You know, we took a long time to bring him on until we did our rewatch project last year, but now he has come on. He is one of the ultimate game masters, I would say, in RHAP. You know him, of course, for his prolific work on This Week in Survivor History. And considering how incredibly complicated things are getting now with extra votes and no votes, I think it's time we bring in some Kalish math. And the man connected to that title is, of course, the great Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Mike, thank you for the great introduction. And I got to say, I think that of the people who have listened to This Week in Survivor History over the years, they're going to be the ones who could handle the new rules that Survivor has thrown at us this season, because the only thing more complicated than Survivor 41 is my trivia quiz over the years and all the Kalish math and poorly worded questions, some might say, that go along with it.
Yeah, exactly. The idea, like the beware advantage, is essentially like playing in a game of Twitch, right?
Oh yeah,
you have to say this, but you can't do this unless this happens.
That's actually how Twitch became a segment. Rob pulled the beware advantage off a tree, and he's like, "Oh yeah, you're going to grow a podcast empire, but you have to do it while answering Jordan Kalish's trivia questions."
I'm sorry, it said beware.
Yeah. It warned you. It said you better be sure before you pick this up and open the advantage. Yeah.
And there have been some pretty interesting phrases that have been uttered on the in the whole RHAP universe during the years. Some even crazier than the ones that Xander and whoever finds the other two are going to have to say.
Yeah, I don't know how Seeds Baby ranks up with those phrases, right? Like Seeds Baby actually might fit in more, especially if one of the rewards they're competing for is something that involves seeds. Like if they get a vegetable garden, Seeds Baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the only problem is that it's too short, but I think you could workshop it into something a little bit longer. Like, man, this is crazier than that time the fairy gave me a Seeds Baby.
I don't know. The fairy.
I don't know.
I think it was a fairy. Oh yes, the fairy would fit for tea in categories, of course.
So yeah, we're 2 episodes in. Jordan, obviously, I think this is slowly but surely showing that it is truly a new era of Survivor. As much as they established it last episode, we were wondering in episode 2, are we going to keep running at the same speed on this treadmill? It appears so, in my opinion. So that being said, what have been your thoughts about the new era so far via Survivor 41?
I'll start with the positives. I'm really liking this cast, and I think a lot has been made on social media and just from all the podcasts that have been done so far, where this is really a dynamic group of people. It's people who really know the game, and you can tell that if the game is starting this fast, you need people who are going to be able to catch up with it. And I think we do have those people. I think we have a really fun group, and they're not just game bots, they're interesting personalities as well. So I think when you talk about casting for this season, I think they've hit the nail on the head so far, and we have a lot of episodes to go, but it doesn't look like this cast is slowing down anytime soon. So I would definitely say that's a positive. I like the twist that they've had so far with like the risk your vote versus protect your vote. I don't know if we needed to have it a second time, but there was I forgot what the game show was, but there was a game show that used this mechanism before where I think it was only 2 people, so it was more like episode 2. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Friend or foe, I believe, is what happens.
Where, that sounds
people get
right.
To the end, and they have a prize money to split. If they both pick friend, they split the money. One picks friend, one picks foe. The foe person takes all the money. If they both pick foe, they get nothing. And this is like a version of that.
Yeah, which I like. I mean, it's something that they haven't done before. It adds, it's not just getting an advantage. It adds a strategic element to getting the advantage. You have to like sort of use your social game in order to accomplish this, because you have to sort of read what the other players are going to do. I don't think the payoff was as good in episode two. I would have liked this to maybe be something that happens, you know, sporadically during the season, or maybe if they're going to this weird like hilly island during the season. I think Hill Island, maybe that's, is that what we're calling it? But they have to hike and then they have to make the decision. I think that it could have been different each time. I don't know if they needed to repeat it. It's gonna, I think I maybe liked it episode one because it was fresh, and now it's not as fresh. So I'm hoping they don't do that again in episode three, but we'll see. Plus, do we really want all of these extra votes floating around? I don't think so.
We're gonna have like seven extra votes by the merge.
And like, but then no one can vote, so maybe it equals out. I don't know. That was like their balance mechanism to try to make it equal. Okay, well, what about this? What if you go to Hill Island and then instead of risking your vote, like what if there's something else, right? So instead of friend or foe, it's friend or pho, and then you get food.
Liana, you
I like that.
Veered dangerously into a different territory with that second, that third word in that phrase. I was going to say, like, oh, they said this is a good cast, but like some of them are in very sturdy relationships.
What? No, friend or pho, like food, like the soup.
Yeah, I knew what you were saying.
PHO.
PHO. I think you're starting to say a certain word and just cutting yourself off for.
Oh, you think I'm self-censoring? Ah, yes, friend or F. No.
She would have said friend or F then, Mike. We know that F is.
Yeah,
is
F
the,
fake friends, yeah. Mike. Come on. Yeah,
exactly.
Thank you,
no,
Jordan.
That's FCUK, fake friends. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
If that was the case, maybe like one, instead of the ship's wheel, it's like there's two paths, right? And one leads to like the honeymoon suite on Survivor, right? If you want to F, and then this poor person goes there and they get stood up by the other person and they lose their vote.
Okay, well, yeah, all right. So anyway, back to my original idea. If it was a different type of wager, right? So then that way they could, because it would be really interesting to me, because Evie goes in there and is trying to game the situation, right? But
and
what
does.
If you and does, right? Because it is it's the same thing as what they saw previously, right? But what if it's something different? And so then you still have to sort of make this decision on the fly, but you kind of know how the other person's thinking. So I think that could be a way to change it up if they want to keep this type of mechanism. You know, I want to digest it much like I would like to digest my pho a little bit more to like truly know how I feel.
Before you F.
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't want any accidents here. So I think I want to think about it a little bit more, but like, I totally get the Jordan, your point is that it just felt repetitive. And then I was like, well, if they can game the system, then there's no point in it anymore. Like it loses its excitement.
And again, I don't, the players did absolutely the right thing. Deshaun goes and he, you know, he's on the tribe that hasn't been to tribal yet. I don't, you know, it doesn't mean that they won't go to tribal, but he, it was very clear from Evie's description of like that, the fact that she had to keep her vote, that he knew what she was going to do. So he benefited from it. I think she in the long term could benefit from it. I think she played it right because she knows that, you know, she has to vote at this upcoming tribal council. She can't be the second person on her tribe who doesn't have a vote. You know, it just made more sense because their tribes are in different places right now. So I think the players played it well. And I like to see that. I like to see the strategy behind it. But again, it's going to start to feel really, really repetitive if it's the same thing every time. And then I hope that even if they change up what the game is, I hope that the prize is different. I hope it's not another extra vote. Maybe it's like a vote nullifier or something. If we have all these extra votes, maybe we need a couple vote nullifiers in there, which could get pretty crazy as well.
It's interesting. Yeah, I'm torn about it because on the one hand, while I do agree with you, Jordan, I will say I'm not a giant fan of, hey, depending on the week you go to this place, you might get something completely different. You know, I think that was the huge folly with Ghost Island was sometimes people just flat out didn't do anything. And they've improved upon that. Like the most recent season of Survivor South Africa instituted a very similar concept, but there was always some sort of risk or reward involved. But there is still a little bit of a luck of the draw, right? Of, okay, one time it might be an extra vote, and maybe next time it's like, okay, here's a super idol. Go ahead and play. And you're like, well, I guess I picked the right time to go to this summit. So I like the consistency, But at the same time, I agree about the repetition. And I don't know if I especially love the idea of it always being an extra vote or losing your vote. Maybe I know Steven brought this up, that votes, I guess, have become the currency of Survivor. So I guess it makes sense. It's just becoming, to be candid, a little difficult to track, even two episodes in. That's mm-hmm. what I personally fear. But on the other hand, again, this is why I'm torn. I'm going back and forth. I think that of all the advantages that have been presented throughout Survivor history, to be candid, extra votes have been the most toothless.
Yeah, for sure.
Extra votes have really done, for lack of a better term, squat. And votes
diddly squat.
Diddly squat to, yeah. at that point in this game. So at least, like, either it's going to have a null effect on the game, or there's going to be enough to actually do something. And maybe that's one of the reasons as well of, like, listen, if we throw a bunch of extra votes in the game, maybe people will actually use them for strategic acumen.
Maybe that's what they're going for. And I also think we typically haven't put the extra votes into the game this early, like before the swap. And at the swap is when an extra vote could really come into play. It would be more useful, I think, if it were two starting tribes and you have like a new tribe that was like, you know, 4-4 or 3-3 after the swap. But if you have, you know, three tribes coming in, you could still have like a situation that may have been a tie where an extra vote could come into play. But I think the way to fix this, Mike, I really think it is, like, we don't have to go to this place every episode. It's nice once in a while. And also, I'm not advocating that, like, you know, they should go and there should be an idol or a super idol as the prize. I think that the prize, while I think it could change in order to maintain consistency, I think it could be a different prize, but of like similar value, which is why I think maybe messing with the votes, or maybe, I don't know, like a half idol or an idol nullifier, something that can be used that's not as powerful as an idol might be the way to go. I just hope we're not going there every episode. Even though it is interesting to see the people on the opposite tribes interact.
And that's the thing. I think, honestly, I don't know if you need that wheel. I know the art department spent a good time on it, but I'm fine if it was just Evie and Deshaun chilling for the day.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's fine, too. It's almost like, I mean, at that point, it's Exile Island, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they can still use the sign that says take the what path and get to know each other, right? So that didn't go to waste.
Yeah, it's less
so
Exile useful. Island, more like a Exile day trip, basically, right? Like, we're gonna go have a meeting for an hour and then go back.
It's a field trip. Okay, I have a few questions. One, Deshaun's vote. So let's say Blue never goes back to Tribal, right? At least until a swap or a merge or something. Will he still get it? Is there an expiration date to that extra vote?
It's not like a shot clock idol or anything. I think
there's no
it'll
time
last probably until like final six. Yeah, exactly. Also to sort of do the vote, extra vote check-in here. I'm Steve Kornacki at the map, right? Speaking of Blue Tribe, Deshaun has one. Danny has one. Mm-hmm. Oh no, Danny doesn't have one. Danny protected. He has, Deshaun has one. JD has one. Mm-hmm. Xander has one, but in the cruelest
he can't use it.
Twist of fate, he cannot use it. It is out of reach. It's in a China cabinet and he does not have the key to the lock.
I am of the strong opinion here that if you have an extra vote, I think you should be able to use it even if you lose your vote, because you're not using your original vote. You're using an advantage that you had to risk something to get. So I kind of think if you're putting both of these things into the game, and again, I've always been of the opinion that you don't need to put all these crazy things into the game. But if you're going to, I think you should be able to use an extra vote even if you don't have a vote. And I think if you use your shot in the dark and you lose your vote, I think you should also be able to use your extra vote.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally okay with them if they allow them to use the vote. I mean, actually, to go back to something you guys were talking about earlier, in terms of keeping track, like on Xander's, it said no vote. But then I was hoping it would say extra vote. So then that's why I was like, oh, okay.
They only have so much room, even on the widest screen, to fit everything in there.
Yeah, it should be like in parentheses, no vote, but also kind of two votes.
Yes, exactly. But potentially two votes if a certain phrase is said.
And if someone talks, talks about broccoli and about whatever the other things are.
Yeah. Okay. But then my final thought here is, you know how we talk about when are the times that the extra vote is useful? It's when there's so few numbers in the game. And I kind of feel like introducing an extra vote when there's tribes of six, that probably makes these extra votes actually more impactful, right? Because we talk about how there's nowhere to hide on a tribe of six, and especially when you're down to five. But if you are able to have this extra vote, like let's say Xander could vote, had the extra vote, then they're able to tie it 3-3. I don't know what happens then, but you know, then Xander and Voce are able to work together to do that. So I think the fact that they're introducing these extra votes specifically on tribes of six, I think that that is where they're going to end up having more of an impact. They still ultimately maybe diddly squat, but I think if you're going to increase the likelihood, that's the best way to do it.
That's a great point. Yeah, that I think much like extra votes only necessarily get utilized, you know, down the line in the post-merge where they're all smaller numbers, they're essentially starting in a post-merge situation, especially with the way some of these people are playing, because I know the comparison has been drawn between the poor Yasa tribe and the brains from Cagayan. But we are going a bit in that direction, or maybe like another tribe, because as Dr. David Voce told me in his exit interview, allegedly, basically every single member of the Yasa tribe had the plan to intentionally Matt Singh. They said, our tribe sucks so much in challenges. I'm good to let this ship sink and like strategically, socially be one of the last couple people left. So by that point, the merge will hit and I'll be able to fly under the radar again.
So did they all think that they were like in that central social position on their tribe, that they were aligned with everybody? Because the only way for that to work, and I really think the only person in that spot right now is Evie and maybe Liana to an extent too, not Boris, but the one who's playing Survivor. But it's baffling to me that for them all to be that confident to think that they're all in the best spot on their tribe. Because that's the only way to intentionally Matt Singh for it to work out. I mean, you could intentionally Matt Singh and not be in the inner circle of your tribe and you don't live to see it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my guess is that once Abraham went, it felt like Evie was in the center and then had sort of these two alliances, right? It was either Liana and Tiffany, who then they thought they were in the majority with the women, or there was the alliance with Xander and Voce, and they thought like that was the majority, right? So I kind of feel like I could understand where either of them, like I could understand the perspective, yeah, especially if you feel like the other two were on the outs.
And then, going back to, you know, the eponymous Matt Singh, right? Malcolm and Denise were able to basically control that tribe from the get-go because they were a tight two in a tribe of six. And so I could imagine if people have the mentality of, okay, as long as I'm pretty friendly with everybody and I have like a core of two or three people, I'm good. And that's how Voce felt. Voce said, you know, it's Vex, right? It's Voce, Evie, and Xander. Now I'm even sadder that Voce went because we're missing that lovely alliance name. I'm vexed by it. And then he basically feels like, okay, we get rid of Tiffany. If we lose another challenge, we get rid of Liana. And then basically like we'll slip through. Xander and I might vote off Evie or we vote off Xander. And then I'm basically guaranteed to make the merge. But that speaks, I think, Jordan, to your point of how I don't necessarily feel like all the time super fans equals good casting necessarily. But I think they found a really good crew of people who have interesting personalities, interesting stories, and are hungry to play the game. Maybe to their detriment sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're hungry in general because there's no food. But I love this idea of all of them trying to big brain this and like essentially, much like an extra vote and a vote nullifier, canceling each other out and be like, I want intentionally Matt Singh. No, I want intentionally Matt Singh. Which honestly might bode well for someone like Tiffany's chances if that's the plan.
Yeah. It also tells me how strong of a game Evie's playing right now. Because if she made Voce believe, to the extent where he was happy for his tribe to lose, even though he was the next one to go, if she was so good to make him believe that he was in the inner circle of the tribe with Xander, who can't even vote, it shows that Evie is hiding her alliance with Liana. She's hiding her alliance with Tiffany. And if she's able to do this throughout the game where she's able to be this close with people, she may even have an alliance with Deshaun now from the other tribe. If she is this good socially, she's able to have these small conversations with people, you know, do it in private, do it where you're not constantly talking to them. I think it really speaks to her game and the fact that she could have a lot of longevity. And I've been impressed with a few people, Shan, Liana, you know, I think Tiffany did a great job in this episode. But I think that that Evie is the one who's really standing out to me as my favorite player so far.
I mean, great meaning large or immense. We mean it in the pejorative sense, because I would say it's not the best episode for Tiffany. But Tiffany does end up surviving here. So like net positive, I would say overall.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And ultimately, she gets her way, right?
She does. Yeah. I mean, look, it's a little bit concerning that like her conversations with Liana and Evie were not great. I mean, I'm putting, like, if I'm putting Evie up here, like Tiffany did a good job of getting her way. But in the long run, is that going to help her where she kind of showed that she might not be the best alliance member if she's like always going to be like pushing for what she wants and it has to be that way. But, you know, you did see Evie had a couple confessionals where she did speak about, you know, she didn't like Tiffany's approach. She may have wanted to keep Voce in the game because of that and get rid of Tiffany, but Tiffany still got through. And I think that she, you know, at least for now, look, she could be the next to go on this tribe. I'm not convinced that Xander is going to be next. If they go, it could be Tiffany. But I do think Tiffany has done a good job as the older woman on her tribe, who often is the first one voted out to survive two tribal councils to this point. Yeah. So I think she's doing something right. I just don't think she's doing everything right.
She's super interesting to me. She's got a lot of personal content also. I don't know. I really don't want that tribe to go back to tribal council. Yeah. I don't want to lose any of them. I really, 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 really don't. So like fingers crossed, for them. I think the other really interesting thing from this episode is what happened on the Hill Island, Island of the Hills. The Hills Have Eyes. I don't know. Whatever. That Ooh, island.
The Hills Have Eyes.
Islands alive with the sound of extra votes. So what Evie did on the island was sharing so much information with Deshaun. Like, what I'm sort of hearing is the general consensus is like, love the idea. Maybe too much information was shared ultimately. But I want to get like your take. Like, Mike, I see you kind of the whole situation. What do you think?
I could understand that on paper, but the fact of the matter is, and I'm sure we'll talk about this beware advantage later on, it is predicated on other tribes having access to this information. You know, it's very comparable to me of in both US Survivor, we saw it in One World, and a little bit of International Survivor as well, like cross tribal idols. When idols are available in other camps, it behooves you to tell someone you want to work with, hey, there's an idol at your camp, because not only is that going to help Evie, and I guess, you know, Xander and by proxy Evie in the case of Deshaun, probably now going back to camp looking for that advantage. And now two out of the three puzzle pieces are essentially there and helping things along. But it's also, you know, as much as people say votes are currency in the game, being able to share this secret, I think, is something good. And if Evie is potentially fearing this intentional Matt Singh, they now have someone who probably looks out for them in this case. So I had no problem with it. I think mostly due to the ramifications of the information Evie was sharing was dependent on information being shared to other tribes as well. Otherwise, you're just sitting on your ass saying, well, hopefully Nasir knocks down another breadfruit and a clue at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting because they were planning on voting out Xander at that point. So it wasn't like, hey, here's some information, go find this idol so we can put the pieces together. It was just like, oh, but we're going to vote him out, so it doesn't really matter. So I thought if you're going from it from like, look, we need to assemble all the pieces, you know, like let's get all the stones, then you want to share that information because then you have Xander's, then you have Deshaun's. All right. We at least, like you said, have 66.6666 repeating percent
thank you, Voce. Oh, you're Liana, welcome. Have you always been that small?
Where does that come from? Yeah. Oh my god, don't even get me started on those questions. I was dying from Jeff. I was like, what the hell are you even asking right now? Like, what do whatever. Okay, fresh.
That would be like if I was at tribal council and I like rolled my tongue, right? If I did this, like, be like, oh my god, where did you learn to do that? Did that come naturally from you? Is that how you were raised?
Yeah. Did you learn that from your parents or just was it inherent in who you are? Yeah. I don't remember what I was saying because now I got confused about Jeff Probst's stupid questions at tribal council. Whatever. I'm sure my point was important, but you know, you get what I'm going for.
Something with Evie telling Deshaun that Xander was probably the one to go here. And I don't know if this was Evie's plan, because I think at that point, maybe in her mind, Xander was the vote. But does she come off looking potentially less dangerous to Deshaun if she's like, oh, Xander's going? Then they get to the challenge the next day. Jeff Probst says, come on in, y'all, or whatever we're saying, whatever we're gonna say now. And it's not Xander who's gone. Does Deshaun look at that tribe and say, oh, you know what? Maybe Evie's not in that powerful position because she didn't know who was going? And I don't know if Evie knew this at the time, or if this is her master plan, or if it's something that just worked out for her. But I think that could actually help Evie and Deshaun's relationship going forward, if he doesn't see her as the leader of the Yasei tribe. I was really a fan of what Evie was doing this whole episode, because, and she made this point in a confessional, she's giving away information. And when you give away information that's truthful, you do get people to trust you, but it's not her own information. It's Xander's information. It's the information of whoever ends up finding the phrase clues on the other tribe. So I think what she's doing is potentially getting people to trust her by telling them the truth, but it's not truths that are going to come back on her. It's truths that are going to come back on other people.
Yeah, I do find it interesting, right? Because Evie specifically said, well, it's not technically my information to share, so it's fine. It's more so, Evie is more so a conduit, right? Evie is a pipe that the water is flowing through, the water in this case being information about the Beware advantage.
Yeah. So here's my concern, though, is that it depends, and I maybe need to rewatch it, I guess, for a third time to like really see how everything was phrased. But if I'm working, if I hear someone being like, word vomit, blah, 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 here's a bunch of stuff, I would be like, oh, you are a leaky sieve. I will share nothing with you. Like, a that would sieve. Be my thought is to be like, I will not share anything, because if I tell you something, it's going to get out and I would be nervous about working with you in the future. Mm-hmm. So I think it could be interpreted different ways, depending on how you phrase it, right? Because if you sell it in a way that is like, I'm doing this to help you, right? So we can work together, versus like, hey, here's all my alliances, closest, deepest, darkest secrets. Have at it, that, you know, that comes across very differently.
It's true. All right, let's start getting into our usual B&B fair. But first, to quote another CBS reality show that came to its conclusion this week,
Big Brother.
Of course, yeah, Jordan.
Very good.
There we go.
So
oh, 5 points for you.
You did it. I'm winning. I'm winning the game.
Yes.
Well, Jordan,
the game is you say a phrase from a popular reality show, and I have to guess which reality show it's
show
from.
It's from.
Oh, all right, but we won't be saying Auf Wiedersehen to that idea over the course of this podcast. So Jordan has, of course, come in with a couple
Top Chef
of
Germany. What show is that?
No, it's Project Runway.
Oh, okay. Close.
I love that. I love the creativity. I'll give a sympathy.
You know, that hit catchphrase from that foreign reality show, goodbye. They bedazzle it on tote bags and everything. But Jordan has brought a couple of fun goodies to the B&B this week. And one of them involves, of course, you know, when this Beware advantage and the secret phrases were bought out, yeah, you knew this was a meal served up to us on a hot piping dish.
Oh, yeah.
And Jordan Kalish has come through. Jordan, why don't you explain to the listeners at home what your game is and what they are about to experience over the course of the rest of this podcast?
All right, B&B fans, this is what's going on. This game has actually already technically started, because before the podcast recorded, I sent three phrases to Liana and three phrases to Mike Bloom. And these were phrases that were actually created by a phrase generator that I really like. I kind of went through like over 100 of these, and there were a lot of really funny phrases that this website made. And I can find the link and like maybe post it somewhere after the podcast. But yeah, Mike has three secret phrases. Liana has three secret phrases. And throughout this podcast, they are going to have to try to slip these phrases in past their opponent. So the way that this works, and I'll use Mike as the example. If Mike says a phrase that he has as a secret phrase, and Leon will now have 10 seconds to call him out, to call Mike out and say, hey, that's one of your phrases. If Mike is able to say the phrase without Leon calling him out on it, and 10 seconds pass, Mike will get 3 points, and I'll tell you guys what the phrase is. Liana, however, would get the points. If she calls him out within 10 seconds, she would get 1 point. Is that what I said when I sent you the thing? Yes, 1 point.
I'm not explaining
this one. This is classic Taylor's right here. So yeah, if you call the other person out for saying their phrase, you get 1 point. However, if you erroneously call the person out for saying a phrase, let's say I say, like, I don't know, I like to eat chicken at Yankee Stadium. And Liana's like, oh, that's one of your phrases. Nope, it's not. Liana loses a point. So you can't just call people out for everything that they say, because you will lose a point. I have a feeling this game might end up in negative points, because I think you guys are going to be calling each other out for everything. You guys say some crazy things on this podcast. That's the game, guys. It's going to be going on.
You have literally created a game within a game. You realize
a game
that, right?
Within a game. Yeah. If you go to bnbgwg.com, you can play along.
If you just mash your hand on the keyboard, go to the website where you can unscramble some letters. Liana, did you go back again after your whole veto catastrophe last week?
Oh yeah, you best believe it. I've got 2 episodes down. Like, I'm coming for, I don't know, what do I get if I win? Do I get something?
We still don't know. We still don't know a lot of things about this season. Like, they're really slow feeding us, much like these contestants, information throughout, including what is at the end of this Survivor GWG rainbow.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, well, let's start getting into our usual stuff with the phrases hanging over our heads. Let's talk about the person that left this week. A little bit of a shocker, I think, from a general perspective. Dr. David Voce has left the Survivor operating room. Really did seem like, to Liana's point, it was between Xander and Tiffany. Tiffany says, I got a worry in my belly about Xander. Let's switch it to Voce. And that's where it ended up being. Before we get into it, were you surprised to see Voce go here, considering the way the episode was going, Jordan?
Before the episode, I was talking to a friend about what I thought might happen if each tribe went. And I was like, if yellow goes, I think it's going to be Voce. Throughout the episode, my mind was completely changed. I did not think it was going to be Voce. I thought going into tribal council, it was going to be Tiffany. At no point did I think it was going to be Xander. I really thought that he was the decoy boot throughout the episode. I was like, he kind of seems like he might have a longer term story. I know he doesn't have his vote. I know that they're worried about him with these advantages. But he just, I don't know. There was something about it. That I never really thought Xander was going home. So Voce would have been my second choice, but it was like 90% Tiffany, 10% Voce. So I was surprised. I thought that Tiffany was maybe talking herself out of the game when she was having those conversations with Evie and Liana about the fact that it had to be Voce, not Xander. So
yeah, when Liana tells you to your face, this is idiotic, like, You feel like you're burying yourself already. You know, the hole's already 5 feet deep.
And here's the thing, like, Evie saw the paper. She saw Xander's paper, so she knows that he doesn't have an idol. So she's not worried about that. I do get that Tiffany is more concerned about the vote coming on her after an idol play, because she hasn't seen Xander's advantage with her eyes. Like, she's just heard about it secondhand. And she also knows that she's the one that Xander and Voce are voting for. And I guess she just picked that up based on, you know, probably the conversation she had with them and with the other people. She probably realizes she's the other name that's going to come up. So I get her fear. I get her paranoia. But I thought she has the confessional where she's like, I don't want to, like, come off as one of those stupid Survivor players. Evie, who's been having a lot of strategic confessionals, is saying that, oh, the other option is that maybe we could vote for Tiffany. And it's like right before tribal council. I really thought it was going to be her. Another friend, and I've been watching these episodes actually in the city with some Survivor fans at, and just if anyone's concerned, it's a bar that requires the vaccine. Plus we have an outdoor area at this place, so it's very safe. A friend did turn to me and said he was a little bit worried about Voce when he's getting these, like, stories about his mom and about being a doctor at tribal council. But even then, I was like, I still think it's going to be Tiffany. So it was my pre-episode prediction was correct, but I was not correct in my read on the edit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did you think, Liana, about the way the edit specifically came about with the Voce boot?
Yeah, it was oscillating back and forth. I was, like, convinced Voce was going. I was convinced that Tiffany was going. I was convinced that Voce was going. I was convinced that Tiffany was going. So depending on what time you asked me during the episode, I would have given you either the absolutely correct or incorrect answer. Because, you know, there's, like, the little clues that you're given. So, like, what Jordan was mentioning, the kind of personal stories at tribal council makes you think Voce. The fact that, you know, once Tiffany starts suggesting someone's outside the plan, and you can see that her two alliance members are getting really frustrated. Then I was like, oh, maybe it's Tiffany. But then they went so hard in on Tiffany that I was like, well, I guess it can't be Tiffany now. So I was trying to like talk myself in and out of who I thought it was going to be. But I will say, because of the last time on from episode one, I thought the women were going to stick together based on the, like, you know, brief second snippet. So I thought it was going to be one of the men most likely. But yeah, they did shake my faith in that throughout the episode.
And I really appreciate that. It was not, you know, in the way that the UWA tribal council last time UWA was a little confusing with how everything shook out. Sarah still went, but we're sort of like, how did those votes end up happening? I really liked how underplayed this was. And maybe it's because I'm off of, you know, a season of Australian Survivor, where in this case, the way they edit the episode, Tiffany would be gone. They would spend 65 minutes having Tiffany be like, I'm in the safest place in the world. Nobody can touch me. And then she gets voted out. Like, they're just very over the top in that regard in glorious fashion. I really liked how underhanded this was, because like you both mentioned, there were still clues there. It wasn't a, wait a minute, where the hell did Voce come from, right? This wasn't like Tyson going home the second time in Winners at War. But there was still enough intrigue going on that it truly did feel like anyone. So for the second time, I will commend these editors for what they have brought so far. I do agree that bringing in the personal information was a little strange. I wonder, did Jeff go down the line at Tribal Council and ask everyone their origin stories and just keep Voce's in because he was going episode?
That would be my guess, and really, like, the reason why Voce was my pre-episode prediction, it just made the most sense from if you're Evie and Liana, why use that social capital of getting rid of Abraham in the first vote to save Tiffany if you're just going to save her for one vote? It doesn't really make that much sense. And also, why would you put yourself in a position where, let's say, Xander doesn't have a vote. So right now, even if it's like Evie and Liana versus Voce and Xander, and that's how, and I don't even know if that's how it would work out, because I think Xander trusts Evie and I think Evie in turn trusts Xander. So Voce may have been next anyway. But why put yourself in the potential position where it does become an Evie and Liana versus Xander and Voce thing? If Xander does get that idol and now he has his vote, not only is it 2-2, it's 2-2 where one of the twos has an idol. So I think it would have been a really bad position for Evie and Liana to put themselves in. I think they made the right move.
And an extra vote also, right?
And so an extra vote. Exactly. Yeah. So he could play whatever he wants. He doesn't even have to guess with the idol. You're right. Yeah, he could just play that extra
from,
vote.
Like, pauper to king of Yasa if he survives long enough.
Yeah,
exactly. At this point, and now he's like, now I shall be the one who feasts.
But now, honestly, if you're Tiffany, I think you're still worried about Xander's idol. Because if they go to tribal again, Xander's probably putting his vote on Tiffany. He's probably, and you know, even it doesn't matter what Liana and Evie do, they could vote for Xander and Xander won't go home. But it would probably be Tiffany. But from Tiffany and Liana's perspective, it doesn't really matter if Xander plays his idol at the next tribal, because then Tiffany goes and then you lose Tiffany, and you could, you know, maybe those two even put their votes on Tiffany if they see Xander as a long-term ally. So I think it just gives them a lot more options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
All right. Well, let's get into how we thought Voce would do preseason. So Liana, let's start with you. Voce, big character in the preseason. Safe to say, did not turn out remotely what I think a lot of us thought, nor what he sort of built himself up as through his bios and his interviews. So how did you think he was going to do, especially in a household that I think had a lot of stakes behind David either doing well or very badly in the game?
Oh my God. Yeah, I think maybe I was just going on a hope and a prayer that Puyo wouldn't have to eat a gajillion nuggets or whatever he promised. So I did have him going pre-jury. I said that he would try to form an alliance with Eric and Xander, but it won't stick. Because he is able to keep it together for a few days, but once the elements kick in and the lack of food, he's back to his OR self. And then I said that he would be, caught looking for an idol, and ultimately the women would work to get him booted. I said his closest ally would be Eric, and I said that Evie would be his enemy. That and his own ego were two things I wrote down.
I guess that counts as your greatest enemy. So here's the thing. I also had Puya's 200 nugget bet living rent free in my head, but I took the opposite path. I said, let me try to manifest, because David Voce was not my winner pick, but I did have him making the finale. As a finalist. So this is now my final three. If you notice, Sarah was one, David Voce was one. All that's left is my winner pick, so we shall see how cursed I am.
At least it wasn't Abraham.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
So I wrote that Voce was going to be the castaway who uses the phrase as a blank the most this season, which I guess he did, right? I feel like he was the one that's like, as a neurosurgeon.
Yeah, and he had the analogy at Tribal Council, right, that was like, we're on life support, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you got to cut off the, stop the thing that stops the bleeding. They're like, no, let's just get rid of the body in general, and then we don't need to worry about bleeding. After he gets humbled early on, he'll be one of the most self-effacing contestants of the season. He ends up losing the challenge where you have to hold the ball in the cylinder, which will make the internet mock him. That's the Saree Fields Memorial Challenge. And despite his wishes, he isn't able to save the sass for the confessionals, constantly getting into frustrated tiffs with people, not Tiffany. And as a result, he becomes a goat and gets brought to the final three. I said his closest ally would be Tiffany because they bond over medicine, and his enemy, also, I said, Evie. We really were manifesting something that just did not come to fruition with this Voce Evie thing.
I know. I'm at, like, ultimately, I'm happy to be wrong that it didn't end up, but it was just, there were so many clues in the preseason, Mike. So many.
I know. That's the thing. And I will say also in general, like, I really enjoyed what I got out of Voce. Again, I think he was, like, sort of blunt, but I would not say completely, you know, shady towards people. He was more so shady towards himself of, like, I can't believe that I have to go along with the stuff in episode one. As much as we make fun of this with Jeff, like, I think it is fun when contestants just pull out math numbers like Christy and War Dog and David as well. Like, I cannot sympathize. I am more so jealous. Like, if my calculator had history, it would probably be more embarrassing than, like, my browser history, to be completely honest. There's just so many, like, hen-picking numbers being typed into a calculator.
Wait, phrase.
Yes, Leanna, that was one of Mike's phrases. If my calculator had a history, it would be more embarrassing than my browser history. So Leanna gets a point in the phrase game. Congratulations.
I'm not going to lie, though. There were like three times I was like, Mike is saying something so weird. This could easily be a phrase. I was
that's
like,
but it's
when you got it in that's, 4 seconds. It was four seconds after the game.
Oh my God. That, but like, honestly though, that phrase too, 100% could hear Mike say. Just
oh, for
normally,
sure.
I
went through a lot of these phrases because I didn't want it to be completely ridiculous.
Yeah. Something that could be potentially justifiable. Okay.
He came in talking about, like, you know, being the villain on the season. And I think a lot of fans maybe went into the season thinking they weren't going to like him. And, you know, he didn't really last long enough to, I think, to form the strongest impression, but he seemed like a perfectly nice guy. I mean, I think he came in, he wanted to play the game. He just ended up on a tribe where a stronger alliance had formed. And I think that I think that first confessional that he gives about the water challenge, about not wanting to do it, but going along with it anyway, because he didn't want to, you know, start the game by, you know, arguing with his tribe and saying that he didn't want to do it. He sort of had to step up. I think it was very self-aware. So I think he's someone who could play Survivor and do well. Just didn't work out for him here.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting because I think we all predicted that he would be hoisted by his own petard, quote Mike White. And the fact that he ended up kind of screwed at the end of the day, I think is just like due to the paranoia from Tiffany's sake that Xander possibly had an idol and was lying about it, that ended up being his undoing is certainly unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was really literally he was just the other person. It could have been anybody, right? It was all because of Xander. Like, his name was never brought up because it was, oh yeah, oh, and the added benefit is Voce is blah, 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 blah. Like, nope, not mentioned, or at least not included in the edit.
Yes, it's to be the E left the Vex Alliance for Voce.
I know.
He needed all three letters.
It could still be Vex, right? Or Vix.
Vix. Sounds like you're doing some sort of Foley work, right? Like, oh, I have to be a drill. Vix, Vix, Vix.
Dan Foley work.
Oh, boy. No,
we don't want to do that.
No, thanks.
We need extra votes. All right, let's get into our first game here, because we got to talk more about these phrases. This is so goddamn ridiculous, and I love it. I love that we have stupid secret coded phrases on Survivor, and it is incredible. I love the phrases that they chose, because it, like, the Xander reaction is what they paid for, right? Like, this is why they did that, to have everyone be like, what is this guy on? I know we're not eating things, but like clearly he ingested something wrong and he's seeing things. This is not very, this dude's in a little bit of trouble. But I love the weird phrases. Liana, it's very much Big Brother 16, right? You know, what's your favorite dessert? Apple pie.
As soon as they started reading them, I was like, wait, I'm sorry, what? It was unbelievable for one moment. Like, I'm sorry, did I hear that wrong? It was closed captioning wrong? Like, absolutely cannot be right. And then when I went back to rewatch, paused and read the note myself, sure enough, verbatim, I saw exactly the phrases that they had to read. And I just, that was so funny. They must have used the same thing that Jordan did, like the random phrase generator.
I think they used the same website.
I like genuinely don't. It's wild.
For me, it's like, you know, it's silly without ruining the game. I almost thought to myself, does this belong on Survivor? Survivor's a show that's always taken itself seriously. But in this new, this drop the four, we're at season one, baby. It might fit. Maybe this fits the direction that Survivor's trying to go. And it's not the kind of thing that ruins the game by any means. I mean, it could affect a couple tribal councils if people don't have their votes. It's interesting that they do it with three tribes and all three people need to say the phrase, not just two, because then it would obviously increase the chance that it only lasts for one round.
Who has the worst draw in your opinion in terms of phrases, right? Because we have dead butterflies, or butterflies are just, you know, reincarnated dead relatives. We have feeling as uncomfortable as a goat on astroturf, and we have broccoli is just a bunch of little trees. Who has it worse off of the three?
I think the broccoli one is the hardest one to just work into conversation. I think that the being confused as a goat on astroturf, I could see like Aubrey Bracco saying that, or like a contestant just saying that
I could see someone with a southern accent very easily sell this. Maybe I've been watching too much Frenchie on Big Brother, but like that's exactly what I'm thinking.
I completely agree. I think the goat on astroturf one is by far the easiest, because that's like, I'm as confused as the goat on astroturf, dadgummit, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's if my calculator had a history, it would be more embarrassing than my browser history. Right.
The thing with the broccoli one, though, is like, I could see the broccoli one, you could use it in a way of talking about food, you know, because it's Jeff goes like, all right, 7 days in, no rice, you know, how are you feeling? Been like, all I can think about is food. All I can talk about is food. Food, food, food is on my mind constantly. And like, I've learned so many things. I just realized or whatever. Broccoli is just a bunch of small trees. Cauliflower is blah, blah, blah. You know, like, I think there's a way to kind of get that in there. I was very impressed with Xander and the way that he was able to sort of work it in as, I guess, a hallucination. the butterfly one. Cause I think if I had to pick one, I would actually probably say the butterfly one is the worst.
The problem is, and this was confirmed by Dalton Ross, who like did a follow-up question with Jeff. Evidently, now he doesn't need to say it first, but in order to activate the idol, some point when all three phrases are said, Xander will once again have to say that
the same thing.
I was wondering that, which I really think is a step too far. It's hilarious. I like that Survivor's trying this. It's something new that's not like adding a ridiculous thing into the game. I mean, it's for an idol. We always get idols. But I think once you say it, you said the password. Once the other two people on the other two tribes find the paper, they'll be like, oh yeah, Xander said that thing about butterflies. He's one of the other people. The unintended consequence of this, or maybe it's an intended consequence, is that once these notes are found and everyone has idols, we're going to get to a swap and emerge where the people with idols are going to know who the other people are with idols. And everyone on the yellow tribe is going to know who has the idols, because they're going to hear the phrases. So do we really want the idols to be completely known by everybody in the game? I think it's more fun when people don't know where all the idols are.
See, this is interesting, too, because, and Liana, you read the legalese, so feel free to object here, because the term three-way idol, it brings many images in mind to me, particularly if we're at that ship's wheel once more, but it's like idol.
Wait,
singular.
Phrase! Ship's wheel once more? What is that? That's not a phrase. Is that a phrase?
Liana, you lose your 1 point. That is not a phrase.
What the hell is that, Mike?
We're at 0-0.
Once more.
Oh no! Fine, whatever, you weirdo. Chip's wheel once more, saying mother.
I told you that Mike says weird things on the podcast.
I know.
This is a perfect game for the BMB.
So, okay, fine. All right,
but I think that it doesn't imply that there is one idol that is like shared between them? Do they each get an idol? I do find it interesting that we have yet to really, people have been looking for idols, but one has not shown up. Are they not hiding them at camp? Like, is this how idols are going to be brought into the season?
It's weird because we know Tiffany was looking, right, and didn't find it. So,
right, but she actually was walking past what ended up being the Beware advantage.
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, wait, which is the one that's, so the Beware advantage is the that's the one where you get the, what?
That's the Xander one. Yeah. So she was like, yeah, she was idol hunting, but yeah, it wasn't the idol. It was the little scroll of paper that was in the tree that she was walking past.
Yeah. What was your question?
My question is, they haven't no one's found idols yet, which is surprising for a Modern Survivor season.
Because it's the Beware advantage that has the idols.
Right? Instead of hiding them at camp like they used to.
I agree. And I hope there's no idols just hidden around, because then we're going to have, what, potentially four idols going into a swapper emerge. That's too many. I think this is how they're being introduced. And for better or for worse, I think there are going to be three idols, three pre-merge idols. What I really hope is, let's say none of these idols are used. And I think maybe all the contestants knowing who has the idols increase the chance that they're used pre-merge, which I think is a good thing. But if three idols go into the merge, I really hope we don't add like a fourth merge idol. I hope we learned our lesson with Advantage Geddon.
No, that's the thing, though. Jeff Probst loves Advantage Geddon.
Is that the monster?
That's the problem. Yeah.
But that's the thing. He has said many times in interviews like how much he loved that moment. And so I think actually part of the reason why we're here is because of that. Is because Jeff said like it was an incredible TV moment when all these people pulled out these advantages at the same time. We're all wringing our heads being like, no, that's the opposite. We don't like this. He's like, no. I think we want this to happen. Throw more ammunition into the game. Surely people that get caught in the firefight will be even more fun.
Yeah, I have a question, Mike. If Advantage Geddon had happened to somebody like Sierra Dawn Thomas or, I don't know, Troy Zan or someone like that, someone that, you know, was a two-time player that we don't care as much about as a fan base as we do for Suri, would we look at that badly upon Advantage Geddon, or would we have been like, cool, this was a cool thing that happened once, it got somebody out that we didn't care as much about, and then like, oh, maybe Suri wins, or maybe Aubrey wins, maybe, or I mean, I think also Sarah Lucina winning that season, well, you know, maybe she didn't have the biggest reputation coming in, she played a great game, so she still won, which is cool. But do we hate Advantage Geddon as a fan base if the victim was somebody who was less popular?
Oh, Jordan, you are asking the Survivor fan base to be rational, and that is a very big question.
How dare you?
I do not think it would nearly be as blown up. Look no further than the idol nullifier when Hot Cop Dan gets the idol nullified and everyone's like, yes, oh, go David, that's so great. Bing, oh, what an all-time moment. Two seasons later, Janet gets idol nullified and it's like, oh, damn it, I hate this thing. This is the worst twist ever.
Yeah, I do think, though, that there's probably something, I could see Shannon still having problems with it, that someone but someone leaves Survivor because they didn't have a vote. Like, I think that really kind of is the crux of the issue of why it's so horrible. It was actively the worst abomination to ever happen to Survivor because it was Suri. Mm-hmm. Like, so yes, there's the added hurt there, but I think the fact that you can leave Survivor without being voted out, like, is fundamentally a problem. Although I guess that's Rox, but still Rox, like, there were votes involved to then eventually get you to Rox. So it was like a judgment call that you made.
You could have changed your decision and stayed. Yeah. If you flipped your vote as the person who's rocked out. Yeah.
Like, she could have gotten maybe Ty to play an idol on her, but other than that, because she didn't happen to find like an idol on a tribe on day 9, she ends up going home on day 36.
Yeah. And that's the side of the fence, Liana, where I fall on, where, you know, for me, it's like, it's more painful because it's Suri, but I also don't think it was a good thing to happen to the show.
Yeah.
So all that being said, I went on to, because listening to these phrases, like you said, they're a little wackadoo, a little out of nowhere. They reminded me of something. So I went on to r/shower thoughts on Reddit, which is the idea of, you know, you're standing in the shower, you're taking a long rinse, and just like a random thought pops into your mind. And so I'm going to try to test both of your improvisation skills. Let's see if you are as skilled as Xander is, according to Liana. Basically, I'm going to give you a phrase from r/shower thoughts, and you are each going to come up with like how you would bring this up in the Matt chat. And I will be the judge, jury, and executioner here. I will determine who, you know, who I think gave the better pitch to not come across as conspicuous as, you know, maybe they would in an ordinary situation.
I like it.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
So let's start with an easy one. And Jordan, this is going to hit you really close to home. Adult life is hard, but at least we don't have to do PE anymore.
Well, look, Jeff, you know, I spend every day in a school with my students. And, you know, I wake up early in the morning. I go home late at night. I teach, I coach, and, you know, survivor's hard, but adult life is harder. And at least we don't have to spend all day in PE anymore.
Yeah, okay. You rambled long enough that I forgot what you were talking about.
I don't remember
about,
the phrase so either. Good. I think I forgot the phrase.
The phrase is adult life is hard, but at least we don't have to do PE anymore.
Oh, I think I said it right.
Well, you did the exact opposite. You said that like you said that adult life is harder because we don't have to do PE anymore.
That was close. Well, okay. Well, Jordan, your idol wouldn't be activated. So,
all right, Liana, give me, and this is going to be a little bit of a slam dunk here, but give me your pitch of it.
Oh, of the what was it again? The life is harder.
Life is hard, but at least we don't have to do PE anymore.
Adult life is hard, but at least I'm writing we don't it down do next PE. Time. Yeah, hold on. Wait, let me. Can I write?
Yeah,
it
let
down?
Me. Okay. Let me. I'll put it.
Put it in the chat.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put it in the private chat so that all everyone can know.
PE anymore? Okay. All right. All right. Yeah, Jeff, I mean, we're out here, we're struggling. I thought adult life was hard, but at least we don't have to do PE anymore.
At least Liana said the
phrase. I hate it already.
All right, I might have to give it to Jordan because Liana bailed in the middle of
I don't... Yeah, it doesn't count.
I could see it in a scenario where you're complaining about a challenge. You're like, oh, I see this obstacle course in front of me, and I'm sick of doing these, Jeff. You know, adult life is hard, but at least we don't have to PE anymore. Now you're the gym teacher putting us through the drills here.
Mm. Okay, yeah, that's good. I like that.
All right, here's another one. We'll start with Liana. When you walk into a 7-Eleven, you wouldn't think it's an $18 billion company. When you walk into a 7-Eleven, you wouldn't think it's an $18 billion company.
All right. Yeah, of course. I mean, Jeff, this is deceptively hard, right? I mean, you are watching Survivor from the comfort of your own home and you're thinking, man, I can do that. But then you get out here, it's like when you walk into a 7-Eleven, you wouldn't think it's an $18 billion company. It's just completely different from what you expect.
Okay. All right. I think that's satisfactory. All right, Jordan, what do you got?
You know, Jeff, when I saw our tribes at the beginning, you know what? Our tribe's a lot smaller than the other two tribes. They have a lot of pro athletes. We don't have that. But guess what? We've won every challenge so far. When you walk into a 7-Eleven, you wouldn't think it's an $18 billion company. When you see our tribe, you wouldn't think we won three challenges in a row. It's the same thing.
Ooh,
that's good.
I like that. That is actually, I think that's a legitimate thing. I want to see somebody say this now on Survivor.
Yeah, I could hear that. Like, and that would actually make sense to me.
Yeah, especially when somebody makes sports metaphors, I feel like people can make not enough people make business metaphors on Survivor, in my opinion.
That's the problem with the show.
Yeah, that's
the monster. Monster is
about Xander's advantage. It reminded me of Enron.
I mean, you know, I may be against insider trading on the outside, but in Survivor, everything's fair game.
All right. Next phrase, we're going to start with Jordan. We're closer to the year that the Jetsons took place than the year the Jetsons first aired.
Do I have to say 2062 and 1962?
No, you don't need to define the years, but it is weird that we are indeed closer to the year the Jetsons took place than the year the Jetsons first aired.
Look, Jeff, time goes fast in this game, especially in a 26-day game. I mean, we're on day 14 right now, and we're closer to the end than we were at the beginning, just like we're closer to the year the Jetsons took place than the year the Jetsons first aired.
That's good. I like that.
All right, Liana.
Yeah, my thought was like, I mean, you have to stay on your tippy toes, Jeff. I mean, Survivor is evolving at a rate that is so fast. We are just moving fast like the Jetsons, and closer to the year the Jetsons took place than Okay, hold on.
All right, I will. I think Jordan's going 3 for 3 on this one because you bailed once again. So, and also, fast like the Jetsons. Is, I don't think a simile I've ever heard in my life.
I like it.
Oh, I mean, I know Sonic the Hedgehog, right? Wu quoted him before, The Flash. I think anyone says, I'm fast like George Jetson, baby. fix. All right. This is another Kalish special. We'll start with Liana on this one. And everything bagel is proof that you can seemingly have it all and still have a hole inside you.
Oh my god. Okay. Jeff, it's so tough to feel confident out here. There's so many moving pieces. I mean, in the same way that you can have an everything bagel is proof. And everything bagel is proof that you can seemingly have it all and still have a hole inside you. That's how I feel out here on Survivor.
All right. Okay. Jordan, rebuttal.
You know what? I've been watching this game for a long time, and I could harken back to Peter harken back to Survivor Marquesas, where there was a guy named Peter Harkey, and I think he taught me that an everything bagel is proof that you could seemingly have it all and still have a hole inside you. I have seven.
Oh, all right.
Oh my god, do you think Jeff would he'd be like, I don't remember who
he'd be like, who the fuck is Peter Harkey?
To be fair, a lot of the Survivor guy,
he is back on this season,
Brad, so he is everything old is new again, and that was the season that did birth Survivor guy, so maybe he lives closer in Jeff's heart than you might think.
Maybe Peter Harkey is Survivor. He saw Peter Harkey on the mat and was like, that's Survivor guy. He thought it was his reflection
hallucinating the butterflies and Survivor guy.
He did have long hair.
Jordan, back to you. There are sidewalks in the Cars movies, but they are all cars.
Okay.
Hold on. That's a great point. Do the cars in the movie Cars ever go on the side? Who's on the sidewalks?
I don't know. I think it lends to the theory that there used to be people and like the machines took over. I've heard this is like a Pixar theory before. Yeah,
there's the Pixar theory is that everything is connected and that this is some sort of post-apocalyptic universe where humans died out and cars rule the world.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So that's when the robot overlords took over. Okay.
So is it post? I think it's like post-Wall-E. Maybe,
right, because the humans have evacuated the Earth because it became uninhabitable, and then cars became sentient and repopulated it through God only knows what.
Okay. I think I have my thing. Look, it's the final five. Sometimes you have more things than you need. I have this immunity necklace around my neck. I have this idol. Sometimes you have more than you need. Look, there's sidewalks in the Cars movies, but they're all cars. They have more than they need.
Okay. All right. Liana.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So let's see. There are sidewalks in the Cars movies, but they are all cars. Let's go with, Jeff. I'm exhausted out here and I'm hallucinating about cars, and did you know that there are sidewalks in the movie Cars, but they're all cars?
People are finding about your idol instantly, Liana. You have proven that you are not very good at making it subtle.
No, I am not.
All right, well, I'll give you
enough. Think of anything. There's like no core. Okay, it's fine. We move.
All right, well, I'll give you another one here. Hopefully, you can have some redemption. Jello isn't technically boneless.
Seriously? All right. This has to be at Matt Chat, right? This can't be lit tribal. Okay. All right. Let's. You can't be rigid in this game, Jeff. You have to be able to move with the wind. You have to be able to go side to side. I mean, in the same way, look, Jell-O, a concrete object, but technically it isn't boneless. So
Jell-O, a concrete object. You know what that fit phrase, concrete like Jell-O, comes right after fast like the Jetsons.
You could build a oh my gosh, you could build a skyscraper with that Jell-O, Jeff. It's just so concrete.
Solid.
Yeah.
But buried at the bottom of the Hoover Dam. All right, Jordan, what do you got?
You know, Jeff, my tribe is mad at me because I let the chickens go. Guess what? I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat chicken. I'm not going to let these chickens get eaten. And guess what? You know what else I know since I'm a vegetarian? Jell-O has gelatin, and that's made of bones. So technically, Jell-O isn't technically boneless. So if you're a vegetarian, you shouldn't be eating Jell-O either, Jeff.
Oh,
what?
Wow. All right. I might have to actually give this one to Liana because I think that maybe the proselytizing might have drawn other attention to yourself, even besides the jello thing. When you reveal, you let the chickens go. I think that's the bigger point.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Jordan, speaking of food, here's a fun one.
Ooh.
Whenever you eat canned pieces of fruit, you're more than likely sharing one whole fruit with someone hundreds of miles away.
Aw.
You know what, Jeff, I really hope that this is the loved ones challenge, because I miss my brother so much. And when I was eating that canned piece of fruit that we got at the reward. So whenever I eat canned pieces of fruit, you're more likely sharing one whole fruit with someone hundreds of miles away. So I got to think my brother was eating one of those slices of fruit also.
All right. Yeah, American fail.
Okay. I had a similar thought. All right. So I'm going to go with... Jeff, I am so stoked for this reward. Every night I've been looking up at the moon and thinking, like, that's the same moon that's shining down on my family at home. And perhaps this fruit, well, whenever you eat canned pieces of fruit, you're more likely sharing one whole fruit with someone hundreds of miles away. And I could be sharing fruit with my family under the moon.
Yeah, I'll split the point because it's essentially the same. I'll split it and it's like you're sharing one whole point from hundreds of miles away.
Yay,
I feel like we're sharing a point from hundreds of miles away, Liana.
Maybe should that have been the pitch that Evie made to Deshaun of like, listen, I'm eating some fruit, now you're eating some fruit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
All right. Last one. Liana, let's start with you. Your belly button is just your old mouth.
Oh my god. Okay. Sure, Jeff. Yeah. Whew. Oh my god. Jeff, I am so hungry out here. I am trying to eat in any way I can, through my mouth, through my belly button, because we all know your belly button is just your old mouth. Starving. I will eat anything.
Okay, all right, Jordan.
Yeah, Jeff, that is manioc hanging out of my belly button, because guess what? Your belly button is just your old mouth. I used to eat out of it all the time as a baby.
I might have to give it to Liana for being more metaphorical than literal.
I think you should.
You're assuming that someone actually did shove food into their belly button.
I tried. It didn't work.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's so practical. Just
like, I like that my survivor character in this set of phrases is like letting the chickens go and shoving manioc flour in my belly button.
Jordan, your survivor character is unhinged. Like survivor shower man is not Brent the shower man. It's just like letting chickens go is talking about eating random peaches with their family member is shoving manioc into their belly button.
I like that I'm on Survivor the Amazon also. Like it's not even in Fiji. It's like the one season that uses manioc.
I want more of these phrases. I would love to hear what Jordan's Survivor Man character is wearing, like what he's doing. Like he's like out there being like, yeah, pantyhose and heels are an interesting choice of attire for the beach. Like I'm ready out here. I've got my friends. I've got my family, like just doing the most ridiculous nonsense of all.
Well, I think we met him and his name is Greg Tarzan Smith from Survivor One World. I think is basically shower thoughts incarnate, right? Of like, he's the one that's like, oh, yes, the quantum entanglements, like randomly bringing up all these random facts.
And guess what, Michael? Yeah. You were saying that sentence. Congratulations to Liana by getting a phrase through. Pantyhose and heels are an interesting choice of attire for the beach.
Oh,
three
nice.
Points for Liana. Liana's a 3-0 lead.
Whew. Okay. Whew. All right.
All right. Well, Jordan, you did not just come with a game that has Liana shutting me out. I believe you had something else prepared for us as well. What do you have on deck?
Yes, I have a game. And, you know, when you said to come in with some Twishisms here, I decided to use a game that I have used on Twitch before, but I adapted it for the BNB. I actually talked to Grace Leader after the was it yesterday. I don't know. It was sometime after the episode and between then and now where Grace had helped me come up with a lot of Twitch games last season. And there was a game we like to play called the mashup game, where there are two correct answers, but they share a vowel or not a vowel. They share like a syllable. So you have to combine the words. I will give you an example of how this game is going to work. I might say the chances of your shot in the dark working plus your favorite number. Let me read that again. An example might be edit this out. Example, the chances of your shot in the dark working plus your favorite number Sorry, why does it keep saying your? Plus the favorite number of the BNB.
I mean, it is your. We are us. So it would be like 1 out of 69, right?
Well, 1 in 69 would be the correct answer.
Gotcha. Okay.
Oh,
that's not a great example because all of for the actual game, it's all going to include at least one Survivor 41 contestant. So a better example could be like arguably the second first boot of season 41 plus a 1970s New York City serial killer.
Sarah Wilson of Sam?
Correct.
Oh,
so you get a point if you get it right. We'll have a buzzing system. Liana, your buzz is going to be 69, obviously. Mike, what do you want your buzz to be?
Mine is going to be Vix in honor of the middle letter removed from the main alliance on Yasa.
All right, so we have Vix and we have 69 as your buzzins. So I did tell you before we started recording that you can have a list of the Survivor 41 contestants in front of you because sometimes it is hard to remember last names. I think on this season, it might be hard to remember some people's first names because there's so many going by their last names.
That's very true.
Yeah, so sometimes the last name will come into play. Sometimes it won't, and you'll just have to figure it out. So like the Sarah Will Son of Sam example, that, of course, used the last name. So if you need to make it work with the last name, use it. If not, you could just use the first name. So the scoring for this one is pretty simple. You get a point for a correct answer. You will not lose a point if you're wrong. If you buzz in and you could guess, the other person could then answer the question if you're wrong for a point. So it's just a point if you get the question right. So let's go to question number one. Are both of you ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. So our resident cybersecurity analyst, who is also a prolific Big Brother tweeter.
Fix.
Mike Bloom.
Eric Abrahamsterwatch.
Eric Abrahamsterwatch is correct. Mike, you get the point. Are you surprised that I know what Hamsterwatch is?
I am. So many things. I don't know, Jordan. I'll be intrigued to see if there are twists that end up showing up, you know, on Survivor from Big Brother that you might like. Did you hear about like the Coin of Destiny, for instance, Destiny?
No. Is it like the Shot in the Dark or something?
Actually, I don't know, Leon. Is it comparable in your opinion?
Which one is the Shot in the Dark again?
It's the dice that you don't roll.
Oh, the dice. Yeah. Well,
the coin of destiny is like you.
You have to say it three times.
Yes, because that's Julie Chen Moonves loves to make herself giddy doing that. But you flip a coin and essentially like it determines whether or not you usurp someone as HOH. I mean, I guess we sort of had that on Survivor 39, right? Going back to that, because Dean flipped for the coin, right? Like. This with this single flip of the coin, his life changed forever, right? Like Janet goes home, and then he ends up surviving with all these necklaces and everything. So I guess the coin of destiny has already happened.
Yeah, kind of. I would. I mean, there's a coin. There was a coin involved for sure.
There was a coin involved in Liana. With a single flip of the coin, his life changed forever is one of Mike's phrases. So Mike has tied the game with 3 points.
Oh, shit. Look at you.
I was like, how do I work this in? And I was like, I already mentioned the idol nullifier. How do I bring it back?
Yeah.
But yeah, there was indeed the coin of destiny. There was a literal coin.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I think it sounds to me sounds more like a Big Brother thing. And I think so does the Shot of the Dark. But well, look, I'm not going to judge an advantage before it's ever used. Like we haven't seen it come into play. I don't love it. I don't love the Shot in the Dark thing. But who knows? It could end up being fun. But anyway, let's get to this is definitely going to be fun. We'll get to question number two. Mike has a 1-0 lead in this game and you're tied 3-3 in the other game that's happening simultaneously. OK, question number two. He learned English while watching this former castaway say, "I flew," regarding the most funnest challenge of all time.
Fix.
Mike.
Is it Nasir Mutalif Manson?
It is Nasir Mutalif Manson. Congratulations. You are up 2-0.
Oh my gosh.
Yes,
that was when Leif went off the water slide, right?
Yes, and there's the dramatic reading on YouTube of that Leif confessional, which is one of my favorite Survivor videos. Yes, but a very long Leif confessional. All right, so Mike has a 2-0 lead. We're going to go to question number three. The original name of Survivor 41 plus a thus far purple contestant.
What?
the original name of Survivor 41 plus a thus far purple contestant. Mike.
Survivor Dawn of a New Erica Kasupanen.
That is correct. Dawn of a New Erica Kasupanen. You didn't have to say the last name for that one. It could just be Dawn of a New Erica.
Oh, okay. I guess
and thus
true.
Far, purple. She hasn't gotten a lot of screen time, and she also has purple hair. So that that works on
two
levels there.
I guess that prediction ended up actually turning out really well. Like, she ended up manifesting her own edit.
Yeah, she did. I mean, but the thing is, it could be like, you know, Karishma made this point on the recap where it could end up being like Dean, who became a big character that got like no airtime in the first three seasons. Maybe we're just waiting on Erica to actually have an episode where she goes to tribal council, because that food tribe hasn't gone yet.
What color hair? Okay, so let's say purple manifests a purple edit. Then what color should you dye your hair in order to get a good edit? I feel like red is villain, right?
Mm-hmm. Red is villain.
But I feel like green, but like, good, like red is green.
But we've had redheads on the show who haven't really, like, Tommy was pretty unredheaded.
No, not redhead though. You have to dye your hair. Yeah. So if you are a redhead, you
so you're
have
talking
to
like,
make
are you talking like Ronald
red.
McDonald?
Yes, that's what I'm envisioning. Like, so red could be maybe a villain. Green is.
Oh yeah,
I think
I think puke green would be the way to go, because it's gonna stick out no matter what.
Oh my god, puke green. I don't know what blue would be, but then of course, like,
Big Wendy had blue, remember?
She did have blue.
Oh yeah, she did have blue. What type of edit did she get?
I mean,
I think she got a big edit. Well, she was Big Wendy. She had a big edit.
Oh my god. And then you could like try to figure out how they all work together. It's like a mathematical equation with all the different edits. Like, it's like, okay, red is greener than purple, so that's for sure. You have that type of edit. And then if you have like the blue plus yellow is the green edit, so that's like a good, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know how the whole thing works together.
Yeah, we seem to be looking like a Hot Topic catalog by the time these Survivor contestants game this system with all the hair colors we have on the beach.
It will be. And something you could purchase from a Hot Topic catalog is three more points for Liana, because one of her phrases was red is greener than purple. That's for sure. So Liana now has 6 points in the phrase game.
Red is greener than purple. That's for sure. I mean, actually, that was an incredible segue. So I give you all the credit in the world.
I love the setup. I knew where you were going with it, Liana. I was in on the joke there, because I knew your phrases. So that was great. Created a whole conversation about hair color just for the bit. I love it. This is where I wanted this game to go.
So much work.
All right, but anyway, you may have a three point lead in this in that game, but you are down by three in this game. But we have 11 of these combined words, so you have plenty of time to catch up, Liana. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay.
Number four, Evie's biggest ally and Evie's other biggest ally.
Liana. Oh. Wait, what's
I need
Xander's?
I need you to answer.
Pass.
Okay, right. Liana's passing. Mike, you have a chance.
Tiffany Celiana Wallace.
Tiffany Celiana Wallace is correct, Mike. You get four. Yes, Xander could be considered one of Evie's allies as well, because she's kind of aligned with everyone on the tribe. But she's only...
They did want to vote Xander out this episode, though.
Yeah, and I think these are her two biggest allies right now. All right, question number five. Mike, you have a four-point lead. This may be his island, but he doesn't even get to vote.
Liana
got the buzz in first. So it was, yes, Troy Xander Hastings. You didn't have to say Hastings. That's fine. Liana, you get the point there. Okay. It is 4-1. And Mike's lead shrinks to 3 here. Still a game. Question number 6. Uwa's fire starter plus a satirical 2016 presidential candidate.
Satirical 2016 presidential candidate.
Who is fire starter plus a satirical 2016 presidential candidate?
Oh, the only person I can think of for the satirical candidate, and this might be giving it away, but is the Tiger King man. What was his name?
Joe Exotic?
President?
No, I think I'm gonna end it here. It's not Joe Exotic. He was actually going by his, not his real name, but I guess by his character at least. This was JD's Nuts.
Oh, the write-in ballot. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
JD, the fire starter. D's nuts, the candidate. JD's nuts, which...
I was so off. I was thinking Nasir also. So I was like, wrong tribe, wrong candidate.
Is that going to be one of JD's like comebacks? You know, like,
JD's
well,
nuts?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, you think you could blindside me? Well, JD's nuts?
Yeah. You said comebacks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Oh my God. That's what I want. Like, my, I'm going to change my last name to like Ligma. And I'd be like, you try to vote me out? Like, Leonel, the bubbles.
Wait, you would say your full name?
I guess so. I don't know.
That's odd.
I didn't think that was true.
Yeah. If you run for president, that could be your alter ego. Yeah. A lot of presidential talk when I come on, because last time we did the presidential slogans. Yes. Actually, when Grace and I were talking, we were considering doing something similar to that, where we're going to maybe do like, you know, Shan has her Shantham, which is like her brand slogan almost at this point. We were going to do brand slogans for the different survivors, but it was kind of hard to come up with. This was, it was easier to put together. So let's go to question number 7. He once led the Chicago Bears in tackles against the Jets with 10 in one game, and most likely has heard this Beyonce song, which includes the lyrics, no.
This
is Mike is
buzzing. Danny McCrazy in Love.
Danny McCrazy in Love is correct. You have 5 points.
Oh my God.
This is better than drugs. Like, seriously, I don't know why I was so filled with ecstasy.
Yeah, it's good I didn't sing the whole song, because I probably would have ruined it. Question number 8. Something you might take if experiencing gastrointestinal distress, plus the tattler of tattlers.
I have like, so right, I'm trying
Vix,
to put
Vix,
together
Vix, Vix. I'm gonna guess here.
Mike Bloom.
Is it Sydney Siegel Ex-Lax?
It is not Sydney Siegel Ex-Lax. Liana, you have a chance to answer.
Okay. Can you repeat the question?
Sure. Something you might take if experiencing gastrointestinal distress, plus the tattler of tattlers.
Okay, all I can think of is Tums and Nasir. Is it not Nasir as the person?
No. So the answer, he did tell. He was the tattler. The tattler of tattlers, though, is Sydney Siegel. Mike was on the right track. It's Antacidney Siegel.
Antacid. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
so
okay,
Antacidney Siegel. Let's go to question number 9. Uwaz, rogue vote caster, plus Karor's best placing non-returner.
Karor's best placing non-returner.
Uwaz, rogue vote caster, plus Karor's best placing non-returner. Uwaz, the green tribes, if that helps.
Yeah. Rogue vote. But that's not. I give up.
Who's Karor?
Oh, I meant Oolong.
What tribe is that?
I meant Oolong.
Oh, Vex.
Okay, Mike.
is it Genie Chefany?
No, that is incorrect. Liana, you have a guess.
All I can think of is Genie Chen Moonves.
And remember, always stock your grocery stores.
Yes, like, it is not what did you say? Genie Ibrahim. Genie Ibrahim.
Oh, Genie Ibrahim. Oh,
yes, Genie Ibrahim. Yes, so sorry about the mix of the, it is Ulan.
I was like Katie. Okay.
No, it would be yeah. I guess that could be, I don't know. That could be like you could combine Katie and Ibrahim, the two best placing non-returners from the two tribes. Katie Ibrahim, but that is not a Survivor 41 contestant. So, Mike still has a 5-1 lead. We have 2 more left, so I think Mike's gonna win the game unless something crazy happens.
Eliminated from the start of the game. So,
listen, I don't know about that. My browsing history is much worse than my calculator history. I don't remember what my phrase was.
Okay, so this is a hard one because this you have to combine three different things.
Okay.
Oh God.
David Bloomberg's biggest fan on the cast, plus an infamous Cuban revolutionary, plus the last name of Evie's hiking partner.
Okay. Fix.
All right, Mike.
David Voce Guevaradin.
That is absolutely correct. David Voce Guevaradin. David Voce, Che Guevara, Deshaun Radin. Good job.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And we have one more. And we'll end it here. Mike, you're either going to win 7-1 or 6-2, or nobody's going to get it. It might just be 6-1. Who knows? What you might do with your engines before a drag race, not of the RuPaul variety, and the most oft-mentioned Survivor contestant during my clues for this game.
Okay. Oh, fix.
Mike.
Revy Jagoda.
Revy Jagoda is correct. Jagoda, Evie was mentioned in a bunch of these questions. Revy Jagoda, rev your engines, not of the RuPaul variety. So congratulations, Mike. You win 7-1. But Liana, in the other game, as you know, you have a lead of 6-3.
So we all win.
Yeah.
Whenever you have points in a game, you're actually sharing other points in other games with other people hundreds of miles away.
Yeah. And a can of points.
That's all, Jeff. I can't give you, got nothing for you except this can of points.
Head back to camp.
Yeah. It reminds me of like that back in the day where like Survivor Australian Outback, where you'd like share a Dorito. It's like you're sharing a can of fruit. I feel like that's even a step down.
Can of fruit, a can of Mountain Dew. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Speaking of phrases, very much taken by Brad's whole series of shenanigans at the beginning of the episode, in part by some advice that he gave us, which is he's a hunter and he knows that in hunting game animals, a lot of times when you're close and you look at a game animal, they can feel that gaze. So I had never heard this concept on Survivor before, although I will say when my cats are begging for food and I look at them, they know, but they're usually staring at me anyway. So I don't know how that works. Anyway, so what I did is I did a little bit of research and I found some other hunting techniques. And I thought that it could be interesting for us to go through some of those techniques and try to figure out if they apply to Survivor. And if so, how can we utilize them to be a better player of Survivor? So move over, David Bloomberg. We are here with some brand new rules of the game to maybe help someone eventually win Survivor.
Can we talk about that though for a second? Like this was this scene that started the episode and it was so much fun. And this is like in many ways, Brad is not the person I think any of us expected him to be. The fact that he did like a 40-yard dash, you know, an absolute all out sprint to that hole in the ground and then crawls under some bushes and then just like hangs out there, despite the fact that he's 6'5" and it's like his legs are probably sticking out. It's just I absolutely love the maneuvers and then him deciding to run back to get information that they were targeting him.
It was so much fun, which they were talking about him and they were maybe worried about him. Were they necessarily targeting him? Maybe. But again, I think he might be. This might be a little bit of a clue that he could be in some trouble on that tribe if he's like willing to do this in front of Shan and Jeannie, who were also at camp and knew he was doing this. So yeah. I loved it though. I mean, you know, I've always been a fan of Tony. I've always been a fan of his like Spy Shack shenanigans. And this was sort of like, I don't know if he meant it as a callback to Tony, but it definitely reminded me of Tony. And if anything's reminding me of Tony on Survivor, I'm probably going to like it. So, Fun scene by Brad, way more fun than him like targeting people to their faces, which is just bad Survivor play. So I was more impressed by Brad as a character in this episode than I was in the first episode.
There were so many moments that I liked. It was the fact that he was like, okay, they're going off. One, I want to go spy on them. Two, I know exactly the path to take, and I know that I can beat them to go run around. Three, like, I'm going to tell Shan and Jeannie where I'm going, right? To be like, I'm going after them. Like, he just starts sprinting off. Then the whole burying
as the
himself.
Jetsons going to that water well.
He sprints off as fast as the Jetsons, just making his way to the water well, dives head first to dig himself a hole in the shrubbery surrounding the water hole, and then, like, has the hole, but I can't look at them because they'll sense my gaze.
Like, it really makes me wonder, like, Brad is married, right? He's very happily married. Like, was he like hunting his possible dates? Like, he hunts, you know, like, is he staking out at the restaurant and then, like, the date comes in and he just, like, takes one look under the table and then just, like, nopes the hell out of there, you know? Like, I think I'm good on this one. Maybe the person who's not looking at me while I'm looking at the table is not a good person.
Phrase?
Yes, you got it. Eight, Mike, it was 8 seconds. You just missed it by 2 seconds. He took one look at what was under the table and nope the hell out of there. So, okay, Liana, you get another point. It is 7-3 in the phrase game.
Oh my God. I was trying to figure out what part was the phrase, because to be honest, like, there was parts I was like, but is that it? Like, because it has to be long enough is the thing that I'm trying to, like, sense. Okay, that was good, Mike. That was really good.
That was a good try. I like the attempt.
Yeah.
I actually at first just thought you were talking about Brad, but once you mentioned the restaurant, yeah, I was like, oh, he's going for the table.
Stalking dates was the weird part.
And Liana, I noped me out of there. She said, that's a phrase. Get out of here.
And I feel like that's another thing. When that came up on the randomizer, I was like, that's a sentence that you could say. I could see Mike saying
nope
that.
Right on. What was it? Look under the table and nope right
he
on.
He took one look at what was under the table and nope the hell out of there.
That's tough. Okay, anyway. Yes, the whole thing was ridiculous. I love the way it started the episode. I'm sad that we didn't get any more follow-up to it, but maybe it's perfect in, like, it's little, you know, bubble of content.
Well, there might be a chance that he does it again, right? Like, now he's quote-unquote gotten away with it, even though now literally everyone knows that he did it, so there's a good chance he might attempt it once more.
Is he going to go with the bunker next time?
He kind of like half bunkered it, right? Like, he put himself at the bottom of the bush.
That's true. It was like a half shack. It was like a shunker, a shack bunker.
We didn't see him like pull stuff over on top of him. We just kind of saw him like bury like a mole.
So you would think that he'd go above, but like, he is a human spy nest. He's 6'5". Yeah. So like, I think he has to go low no matter what.
Now he's a big Survivor fan. Do you think he used the Sandra advice from Island of the Idols where she's hiding behind a bush? I mean, he may have had that in mind. And Sandra has done that successfully before, by the way.
That is true.
Was it Vince who went to the Island of the Idols who was like hiding behind that palm frond?
Yeah. Well, that was Sandra trying to show
Sandra
off
showing him.
Yeah, just show him how to do it. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, that was so funny.
Yeah, same episode where Boss and Rob clowned on Vince for not knowing where he's from.
Yeah, right. So I have a couple tactics here that we could potentially use. So here's the first one. So the first one was bring food with you. Okay, because you don't know how long you're going to be there, although you have to bring the right food. So I pulled this, especially was funny, because if you bring food along, make sure you can get into it easily and eat it quietly. A big handful of jerky stuffed in your pocket is a great snack because it doesn't make noise when you chew and there's no crinkly package to deal with.
But if someone catches you on the hillside eating it, right, you might get in trouble.
Yes, this is, I think, maybe what Kel's problem was. I think he read this guide before going out to Survivor the Australian Outback.
I would not be surprised if the dude had, like, camo pants in the Outback, right? Like, I would not be surprised if he had hunting experience.
Yeah, he was an Army guy. Just like Jeff Probst is a Survivor guy, he was the Army guy on that season.
So I do think this advice is actually applicable, though, because I think what you can do, especially if you're someone like Nasir, and you've already, like, you know, hunked down some breadfruit from the tree, like, gather a couple in your arms, go hide out, and then if you are trying to beat them back to camp and you know you can't, like, throw some breadfruit in their path, right? Because then they could be like, oh man, breadfruit, we gotta bring this back, and it serves as enough of a detractor so you can jet back to camp in time.
Okay, so like a decoy. There was another one where it was like set traps, and so I think that that could be something where you sort of like set.
But again,
a trap.
It has to be the right food, right? It has to be natural foliage. You can't put like a birthday cake out on the path because I think anyone would be suspicious if there was a birthday cake in the middle.
Okay, if we were still playing the game, like I knew you had phrases left, I would be like, "This is one of those.
See, this is how I'm the ultimate master of this."
It could be like Crabbe and Goyle from Harry Potter. Is this the Chamber of Secrets, or is it the Chamber of Secrets?
The Polyjuice potion one?
No, where they slipped Crabbe and Goyle like the passing out stuff in the suites. And I feel like if you did that on Survivor, it could definitely help you. Like the other people might not even come to Tribal Council.
Ooh, yeah. Is that against the rules to tranquilize the other players?
It probably is. Probably in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think drugging your fellow competitors on Survivor is like probably against the rules, but never know.
Liana, what if we substitute food for the immunity idol here? What if you you always want to have your idol with you? If you find the idol, you go to Tribal Council. There's so many live tribals. There's things that happen that even if you don't think you need it, you should still have it with you. But you don't want the other people to know you have it with you. You don't want it to make noise in your pocket. So you have to like keep it quiet. So your prey, aka the other contestants, don't figure out that you have your idol with you.
Yeah, I mean, we never really saw the payoff for this, or maybe we did and I just missed it, but JD's nuts, he had the dye, but he never put it in his pocket in episode one. Did that get paid off at all?
No, I think people just noticed it. Like, it wasn't even, I don't think, like, there wasn't a close-up on it either. And I don't know what, was it the assumption that, like, he wasn't going to play it, but he was pretending like he was going to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because he was the one that even said, "Hey, let's all pocket our dyes here," but he doesn't.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure. All right. So here I've got two rules here, which are kind of like the scheme and plot, but don't scheme and plot too much. Pair of rules that David Bloomberg has come up with. So one of them is a comfy hunter is a deadly hunter. So don't be afraid to bring a foam sitting pad, extra layer of clothes, hand and toe warmers. It'll keep you from shivering, which will make noise and distraction. But then the other one is, if you don't get too comfortable, because if you fall asleep, then you won't be able to hunt your prey. So I feel like it's sort of this weird balance of comfort, right? Like, you don't want to be too comfortable, but you want to be comfortable enough.
I'll admit, I'm going down a bit of a rabbit hole here, not a rabbit bunker, because I had never heard of toe warmers before.
They're like those heating packs. It's like the heating packs that you put in your hands and your gloves, but you can put them in your toes.
Little individual knit caps that you put on each toe.
That's what I was thinking about, actually. Oh. I thought that's what that was.
What are toe warmers? Not that.
It's probably what you said, Leon. That sounds way more realistic. Yeah.
There is going to be an Etsy shop out there that it makes individual
toe hats?
Toe warmers. Yeah, toe hats.
Toe hats.
And if not, I'm making my own shop called Toe Hats.
Oh my God, that's so cute. Okay, I Googled toe warmers Etsy. I see toe socks, like the ones that define the individual toes. But not like little caps for your toes.
How is that not a thing? Mike, you have to create this.
Though I do see toes for hats, but they're, for some reason, it's always construction hats. swear to God.
Hey, you have your feet do a lot of work during the day. You're on them all the time, especially as a PE teacher. My feet do so much dangerous work that they might need little toe construction hats.
For some reason, though, the only market that's cornered on toe hats are construction hats.
Well, maybe when you go on Survivor, if you're a police officer and you're pretending to be a construction worker and you come in with little toe construction hats, people are going to believe your lie a lot more. Like, I don't think Sarah would have ever picked up that Tony was a cop.
I'm such a construction worker. I could construction hats on my toes. Would I do that if I was a cop?
Yeah, complete with the proper attire. OSHA, take that. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Tony's nuts.
That's baby.
But anyway, so I think if you're gonna make a spy shack, like, I love the concept of making it comfortable. So when you're laying there, especially someone as long as Brad is kind of like curled up there, like, you want it to be comfortable. The problem is you just have such limited resources, so like, it's tough to bring a toe warmer.
Well, if it's too comfortable, then you're never gonna want to leave, and then you get the final tribal council, and like, you get to like the I don't even know which segment the social game segment is if it's the outwit, outplay, or outlast. I always forget which one's which. And then they'll be like, "You, where were you the whole time? Like, we didn't even know that we could vote you out because you were never here. And it's because you're in your comfortable spot." It's like Tom Haverford from Parks and Rec. Like, you have this like glamping set up out in the woods, and you get too complacent and too comfortable. So that's why he wouldn't make a very good hunter.
Now, this is interesting because in the past we have had people squirrel away food, right, to like eat stuff on their own. This happened with Tyson, actually popped up a lot, a major storyline in this most recent season of Survivor South Africa. We have yet to have people squirrel away comfort items. Could there be a possibility one day where someone like takes a pillow here and there, you know, maybe a blanket goes missing, and they're actually making like their own little hidey hole out into basically a furniture store that they can camp out in at the water well?
Heidi Strobel hole. I shouldn't have said that. That's not what I intended. That's not what I intended. I heard Heidi, and then okay, we didn't say that.
It's fine.
Good as Mike.
Yeah, look, you bury it also in case you need to hide it, right? You know, like there's definitely a whole strategy here for that.
A whole strategy.
A whole strategy.
Oh my god. I mean, look, and everything bagel is proof that you can seemingly have it all and still have a hole inside you. So, all right. The next strategy is to this one had a title, Stink Like a Buck, aka cover yourself in the scent of deer/nature. Specifically, play off that and set a mix of buck urine near your stand. Now, look, I'm not saying that we should go specifically for urine, right? Like, maybe not that, but we could potentially do some other things, right?
Maybe that's what Fabio was doing.
I don't know about
that. When he peed in the pool.
Like, for the 4D chess here, let's think this through.
Mm-hmm.
What if you want to frame somebody? You know, what if it's like me and Sydney and Nasir? And I'm like, all right, Nasir's already looking seedy. Like, let me try to frame him. What if I, like, set up a scene as if someone was looking for the idol? I rub myself in Nasir's piss, to put it nicely, and just really musk the scent in the area so that when people come in, they're like, who could have done this? Nasir.
So do they all have a distinct smelling pee though? Like,
I think everyone does, right? It's like,
I mean, yeah, but I don't think people could pick up on that scent though.
Oh my god,
what does Nasir pee stand for? Smell like?
That's so funny. And they're like all mad about it. Like, don't piss in my garden and tell me you're trying to help my plants grow.
Wait, phrase.
Yes, Mike got you. That is the phrase. Don't piss in my garden and tell me you're trying to help my plants grow.
You tried to get in through the piss, but
it was a good opportunity to use it, Liana. However, I will say though, Mike, you lose the game here though. 7-6, very close. Liana, you are the winner. By 1 point. Congratulations. You actually clinched it at that point. But we still keep. I'm known for my games continuing once they're over.
Like, let me tell you though,
that's Allie Lashner.
The whole evolution of strategy I had thinking about Jordan's game, I was like, okay, I need to come up with some fake phrases to throw Mike off the scent and get him to gain some negative points. So I
came the
up
pee
with-
thing wasn't even in the book.
No, the pee thing was in the book. Oh, I just happened. I mean, stink like a butt, cover yourself in urine, right?
I was going to say that was genius if you came up with that whole thing
no,
to like
thankfully,
lead us off the set.
Literally. No, but I came up with a couple ones that I thought were pretty funny. The llama couldn't resist trying the lemonade. I honestly find her about as intimidating as a basket of kittens, which I think is actually a good phrase. And I think
that's actually a good, I would have fallen for that one. Cause I think the llama with the lemonade is like a little too weird. All the phrases that I got were not like random wordplay. It wasn't Mad Libs. Like these he veritably said. So yeah, it wasn't too out there, but I'm happy that I like set you up for it, but then also happier that I was able to shut you down.
Yeah, exactly.
It works well. Yeah, I thought you did a good job getting the phrases in there. And again, I went through a lot of these phrases on the generator. There was a llama phrase that came up on this random generator. Actually, I don't remember what it was. And I was like, you know, that's already like too survivory because of Tony. So I purposely picked phrases that I could have pictured the two of you saying. Like maybe it's not your. I don't know if any of these are becoming your catchphrases, like a seeds. BBS thing. And, you know, I know from last week, Kirsten has an over under on the amount of times that I'll say my own catchphrase. And I think I haven't really said it that much for me.
No, I think I said it for you.
You said it. Yeah, you definitely said it before I did. So yeah, congratulations to Liana. And in terms of the buck piss, back to our hunting podcast that we do on a weekly basis. Yes, our urine podcast.
We call the P and P.
Yes, the P&P. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some pee. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're peeing some
games.
Right,
I don't think we're gonna put you in the wad top anytime soon.
No, I don't think so. Well, there's a reason I didn't win it for so many times in a row. But anyway, I think that I'm not looking at these so literally, I'm looking at these figuratively. So part of Survivor is blending in, right? And if you smell like buck piss and you're in the woods, you're probably blending in. And I think the woods probably smells like buck piss. So if you're playing Survivor and you're kind of like a social chameleon, you're blending in with everyone, you're in all these different strategy conversations, you're not making yourself a target, I think you're playing a good game of Survivor. So that's how I would take that advice.
Man, I feel bad whoever had buck piss on the B&B drinking game for episode 2, because you're really in it. Exactly. The whole point is to disguise yourself in some way. And so I feel like humans, probably their senses of smell are not as good. So maybe you don't have to be as worried. But the whole concept of being camouflaged, I think, is pretty solid.
Yeah. Could it be maybe instead of pee, if we go less scatological, could you wear someone's shirt to make yourself smell like them?
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility, right? So cover yourself in the scent of you. Ooh, whoa. What if it's to get them to trust you? And they're like, oh, they smell familiar. So I feel more, it's like a pheromone thing. I feel like I can trust them because they smell familiar. They smell like me.
You're not saying this person stole my shirt. It's this person smells familiar now.
Rub it all over again.
I think what you do is what Brad does, right? It's okay, instead of Ricard and JD go to the water well, you say, okay, give me their shorts. And you rub the shorts all over them. So when they come back, you want to work with me. Don't I remind you of someone familiar? It's my God, it's smelling a mirror.
You're moving the air towards them. You're and that was one of the other ones I saw, but I felt was less relevant. But you should always hunt downwind. If you're going to do that, you should always be upwind, because you want the scent to carry down to them. Right. So obviously the two go hand in hand.
But isn't downwind relative? If you're hunting downwind of some animals, aren't you upwind of other animals?
Well, I think it depends on your target, right?
So I don't know if you're surrounded by animals.
Yeah, but you don't know where your target is. That's the whole point of hunting, is that you're hunting for them. If not, it's just a zoo.
Are you hunting at the zoo?
I'm not hunting anywhere, but someone who knows if you chickens. There's no encagement in the woods, right? The animals are everywhere. How are you supposed to know where they are?
Be like, well, I'm upwind of the jaguars, but I'm downwind of the penguins. So I think based on that.
Yeah.
Now I covered myself in penguin piss, though, so maybe I should go for that.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
If you're covered in penguin piss, though, you're going to scare off the salmon. If you're covered in salmon piss, you're going to scare off the smaller. What do salmon eat? Kelp? Do you hunt kelp, though?
I don't think salmon eat kelp.
What do salmon eat? Do they eat little fish?
Oh my God. There's too many phrases that I can't get over. Okay. So first of all, so salmon, they eat the little microbes that are in the water, right? Swallow water and filter
really?
It out.
Really? Huh, that's interesting. Okay,
less important.
You're from
though,
science. More, you would even know.
The more important story here is, do you hunt kelp? Because to me, can one hunt a plant? I don't, you hunt for a plant?
You're kelp's a plant. Yeah, what was I thinking of?
Did you think kelp was an animal?
No, I got kelp confused with something else. There's a little fish or a little crustacean maybe that sounds like kelp.
Oh,
I don't
you're
know.
Thinking of krill.
Krill, that's right.
Krill.
Okay.
Krill baby krill.
Okay. Yeah. I have kelp confusion.
If you're hunting everything, you want to be downwind of the krill in the ocean. Otherwise, they're going to catch a whiff of you.
Yeah. All right. The next one is get low or get high.
All right. Well,
We can interpret that.
If you ask people who watched what Xander said about butterflies, they assume he's already done the latter.
Mm. That is correct. Yeah, so essentially it's like dig a ditch or get in a tree. I mean, we've seen this literally. Tony, thank you, has, you know, done this in multiple different circumstances. I was trying to think of how else this could potentially apply. I think it really means like attack from all angles. You know, like sometimes you got to take the higher strategy. Sometimes you got to take the lower strategy. You got to be able to really jump around and be malleable to the conditions of Survivor.
You got to be able to hunt from the window to the wall. Get low.
Get low. Get low, get low, get low.
That's where that song comes from.
I think that's a good point, though. I think you have to sort of determine height, right, and like vantage point. Like if someone's always looking up, you know, if someone's like always just looking high in the sky, they're not going to be looking down. As opposed to if someone's always looking down at the ground for whatever reason, maybe they're not as confident in their footing. Then you can hide upwards and not need to worry about being out of their line of sight.
Maybe it's for idol hunting. You gotta get low, you gotta get high to get that idol.
Yeah, I feel like idols are often not in the middle.
That's a good point. They're definitely not on the ground, man.
Definitely not on the ground. The beware advantage was about eye level.
Oh, so maybe that should have been the first hint to Xander that was a bad sign. Was like, if it's at eye level, you know it's nothing but trouble.
Nothing but trouble. Okay, the last one I have is become fluent in animal body language.
Oh, this could be a B&B game. Like, we already did the animal sounds the last time I was here.
Oh, yeah, we did some weird stuff last time you were here.
Sorry, Jordan.
I like
it. But yeah, so I mean, you know, animal body language. So this, I think, obviously, immediately first thing, Brad at the water well. Now, naturally, he doesn't want to look at them. So I don't know how you read body language if you're not looking at the people that you're spying
on. I don't know. I feel like if they can sense him, he can sense them, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe he just gets a vibe as to how they're standing and what they're doing.
Oh my God, vibe check. Feeling like he's targeting me. I caught a vibe. He's checking me. Oh my God, that's going to be my next one. If I'm ever on Survivor, I'm going to be like, if I was Tiffany, I'd be like, I caught a vibe. Xander's idol is going to work.
No, what I would do is I would bring as a comfort item a mood ring and I'd tell people to wear it. And so if they were lying, I'd know.
That's like,
so smart. Do they have a color for lying? Mood ring colors. You might be able to get like a special one that has lying as part of it.
I would, yeah, much like Dominic Abate got like, you know, an especially outfitted bag with pockets for idols. I will go make a custom mood ring to close a certain color when you lie.
Yeah, I don't know what color lying is, but I know that red is greener than purple. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
That's for sure. So black is stressed. So I think if they're stressed, right? Oh, there's unsettled. That could also be useful. So that could tell you if they're nervous. That could also, if they're relaxed, that could be interesting. That means they have an idol.
Here's what you do. You have the mood ring, right? You come in and you go to someone you don't really trust. And it's like, it's you and me until the end. Look, I'll offer you collateral. This is my grandmother's ring.
This is my grandmother's. My grandmother's mood ring.
This is my grandma. No, it's a really big jewel on it. She was really into jewelry. We didn't have the heart to tell her it was plastic, but I want you to wear this. It's my most treasured possession. That's to show how loyal I am to you. And then you just test them throughout, right? Like, yeah, how are you feeling about this?
So can you combine these different pieces of advice? Like if you are able to like use the piss or like the clothes strategy where you're rubbing it on your skin. Now, do you inherit their mood? And then could you put the ring on yourself and see what their mood is?
I don't think this is the legacy advantage where you like acquire moods from people.
The legacy mood advantage.
Yeah, I don't know how transferable it is. Like, can I give my...
The legacy mood advantage where you get a piece of paper that's like, today you must be angry from Morgan. It's like, all right, I guess I'm gonna be angry.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking at the mood rings. You could easily get a bunch of them. Because wasn't that Tony's plan in Game Changers? He was gonna like give out rocks and say they represented his children, like
they were clone rocks. He had actual rocks that represented his family, but he also had dummy rocks that he would use to bargain with.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, truly the currency of Survivor. Like, who's talking about votes when you have clone child rocks?
Was Tony's strategy the opposite of J-Lo? Because her strategy is don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. He wanted the opponents to be fooled by the rocks that he got.
He's still Tony from the block. Yeah, I think Tony, so. That makes Tony sense.
He has a little. Now he has a lot. He has $3 million.
He does. But he still knows where he came from.
All right. So those are the rules that I have. The other one that I thought was just hilarious, but I just thought that whoever wrote this like was on something, was like, a lot of guys listen to music or play video games when waiting in their blind. Don't do this. It is childish. It is disrespectful to the woods, and it distracts your attention. Do not do this.
Oh, so if wow. Shan is pulling a Brad here and she starts humming the Shantham, like, is that a disrespect to the island gods?
This is disrespectful. How dare you do such a thing to Fiji? Ridiculous.
Wow. Okay. All right, well, so we'll see. Listen, if Brad read this article before coming out, we might indeed see him implement some more of these strategies if he decides to continue to go hunting here.
Yeah. I think whoever wrote that last rule didn't get low because he definitely got high.
I got high and then I got high.
All right.
All right. Yeah, we'll see.
All right. So to end things off, every week on the B&B as of late, we have been asking our guests to bring in a charity of their choice that they want to highlight. We are turning our attention not upwards or downwards as if we're looking for an idol, but outwards to the world at large outside of Survivor. And so that falls onto Jordan this week. Is there a particular cause or charity you would like to highlight for the listeners at home?
Yes, and I will preface this by saying the last time that I did this here, this went very well, because I know I sent you this email that my grandma got from Calvary Hospital, which is a hospice care hospital in the Bronx that takes care of people who are basically, they're too sick to recover, but it makes them comfortable for the last days, months, sometimes even potentially a year of their life. And unfortunately, I have had my grandfather was there before he died. My aunt was there before she died. It's a place where you never want to end up, but they do a great job of end of life care. They make you comfortable. The nurses and doctors are so caring. So I use that gave that as a shout out of my charity. And we actually got an email, or my grandmother got an email from somebody who is he's the patron program manager. His name is Chris. He's a listener of the podcast. And he was like, is Jordan Kalish your grandson? Because my grandma's name was on the database. And he listened to the podcast, and he was so grateful that I decided to use Calvary as the charity that I was shouting out. So I will give Calvary Hospital another shout out. They're a great charity. Which is really cool. And definitely one of the coolest things that's... I know. Definitely one of the coolest things that's happened to me as a result of the podcast. And obviously my grandma was thrilled by this, because it's a charity that she's supported for, my grandpa died 16 years ago. So we've been involved with them for a long time. So unfortunately, my aunt was also there 2 years ago. She passed away from ovarian cancer. And actually tomorrow, and the reason I thought of this as my charity for today, we're going to the cemetery tomorrow. It's usually it would be a year after, but it's 2 years later because of COVID. It's called the unveiling. Her headstone is being put out. So we're going there as a family. She was one of the hospitals she was at. Was Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, and they're a hospital that obviously takes care of patients, but they also do research, and their website says, a world where the meaning of cancer is forever changed. Every day your donations are accelerating today's most daring discoveries straight into life-saving care. So they take care of patients, but they're also doing research to hopefully end or at least reduce the risk of cancer or the effects of cancer. So their website is giving.mskcc.org. And it's a place you don't want to end up, but they do amazing work.
You give that giving.mskcc.org?
Yes. And they have their donation page there.
Wow. That's fantastic. And that is wild.
I know. It's crazy.
Small world connection.
Yeah.
So hi Chris, if you're still listening.
Yeah, shout out to Chris. Actually, speaking of which, this was from my interview that I did with Voce at Parade. So apparently, he and Xander didn't necessarily know each other, but he recognized Xander when he got out onto the island.
What? Wow. Wait, why? What?
Well, so apparently they like used to go to the same gym in Chicago. So there was like one point in time where Xander had lived like two blocks from Voce.
That's so wild. That's what a small world.
Yeah, and so he actually brought it up in an interview. He's like, so then I was thinking, is it like an Allie and Patrick situation? Like, do I tell anybody about it? So wild, though. It's still, even when you think that you're just going onto a random B&B podcast to talk about Survivor, that someone for the charity you're plugging ends up listening.
He's listening, yeah.
beyond
literally the guy like in charge of the donation center at the charity. So it was really like the craziest coincidence. And on a whole different note, by the way, you mentioned HHH and Patrick. I do not think Lauren Rimmer would have appreciated the talk of advocating that people dye their hair red before going out into Survivor, because this, I don't know if that makes you a gender, but I still don't think she would like it.
You can never trust them.
Yeah,
exactly. Especially when they purposely make themselves ginger. Weird mm-hmm. thing to say. I'll phrase myself. Jordan, this was so great. You had a game. You had a game within a game. Truly fantastic to have you come back to the B&B. For people who want to check out what else you might be doing, either from a podcast or a social media perspective, or you just walking along those hilly islands, how can people catch up with what you're doing?
Well, yeah, I've been walking up and down hills constantly without a care in the world. No, I have been, first of all, busy with the Yankees right now, because we are in a battle for our lives trying to make a playoff spot here. And even if we make it, we're not playing so great. So I don't know how the Yankee season's going to...
The Yankees intentionally Matt Sing themselves in their division.
I don't think it was intentional, but sometimes with Aaron Boone, it seems intentional. And if you're a Yankee fan, you'll get that reference. But anyway, I have been watching a lot of Yankees. So a lot of my tweets lately have been more Yankee related than Survivor related, but you can follow me at Jordan Kalish. I am going to be doing Patron Mafia. So if you're not a patron of RHAP and you want to play Mafia with the other patrons, sign up. Once you're a patron, you could sign up to play Patron Mafia. That's going to be Friday the 9th. Is that a Friday? Does that make sense? No, that's not. That's not a Friday. Whatever Friday's around there, we're going to be playing Patron Mafia. And then this week in Survivor History, we don't really have like a concrete plan for it yet this season, but we are planning on doing something in the with the patrons of RHAP where you'll be able to compete in Survivor Trivia. So look out for that. Trying to figure out the best format to make it work. So looking forward to all the patron shenanigans.
All right, Liana, what do you have going on?
Well, first, you can follow me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. The Big Brother season is over. Mike and I did one final hurrah coverage of the Big Brother season. So that is already out there in the ether. You can take a listen. I 100% apologize.
Yeah, one of those prime moments where you can scream at your phone for our stupidity.
Yeah, we're dumb, but like there we were extra dumb with mm-hmm. Derica's favorite player.
Derica. Oh, all right, you already won Jordan's game now.
Which that's Derica? Right. There's two Derics.
So that was really fun. Of course, a complete mess. And then I'm podcasting about The Masked Singer. So Puya and I are covering season 6, which is going on right now. And so we just released the episode 3, which is Group B. So you get our first impressions of everyone in Group B and how we think they stack up.
By the way, is there any chance that the baby is the baby?
We don't think that that's the case, but that would be absolutely
hilarious. That sounds like some Ken Jeong bullshit. Like you could do that. You're like, oh, the baby, it's right there, guys.
The baby, get it, get it.
Now, can you, if you during categories for debate, I believe the baby can only be used for D, not for T.
For B, like the baby.
No, D. I think it can only be D.
Unless you formally. I mean, I don't know if he's formally referred to as the baby.
He's not, I don't think he's the baby. I think he's the baby. Mr. Baby.
Yeah, I think the baby's already taken by the baby from Dinosaurs. Like, that's the baby.
That's the baby.
Oh, that's true.
Not the mama.
Exactly. Not the mama. I'm
not
the baby.
Not the mama. I'm the baby. Yeah, I'm
makes the sense. Baby.
If they ever do a Dinosaurs reboot, the baby can play the baby.
I think starting any sentence with if there's ever a Dinosaurs reboot, like, listen, I would have dinged my bell right there of like, all right, something suspect here. I don't think you even generated that phrase.
That was my phrase.
Yeah, those Jordans.
Oh, you know what we really need to bring back? Those Jim Henson's anthropomorphized dinosaur weird suits that they had. It was like a sitcom, but they were dinosaurs. All right, you can follow me at a Mike Bloom type on Twitter mainly. As I mentioned, did an interview with Voce, which was really informative. I actually thought it was a really, really great interview. Voce is just a really great guy to talk to, and he gave out so much intel. Like I mentioned, that stuff with Xander, the other things. I also mentioned the intentional Matt Singh, the fact that he was so close with Tiffany that they would take aqua dumps together, the fact that apparently he feels like the reason he left is because Evie only had about 5 to 10 minutes between when they got back to camp and going to tribal council. So they had no time to change Tiffany's mind at all. So really paints a great picture as to everything that happened with Voce. So be sure to check that out. And if you love exit interviews, I've got plenty for you this week. You are feasting on them, the whole fruit, not just canned pieces of it, because I have interviews with the final three of Big Brother 23, as well as the winner of America's Favorite House Guest. I have interviews with the five finalists of The Circle, which also decided to wrap up this week for some particular reason. So I am right now like beleaguered, bedraggled. I think that's why I was so just like OTT excitedly curb stomping Liana during that game that Jordan came up with, is because I am just frankly delirious at this point. So I made it through the haze. I hope people enjoy it. I had a great time getting through it. I'm also happy to rest. So no rest for the weary. I'm still doing exit press for Survivor next week, still doing Lost Down the Hatch, still doing the Bloom Files. So still plenty of coverage going on, and the B&B will keep going as well. Now, Jordan, you made a reference to Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. We're going to bring on two people that might be able to fact check you on this. Next week on the B&B, we are welcoming back the Real Weird Sisters, Alice and Martha, their previous guests, friends of the podcast. If you check out their podcast, they are a fantastic Harry Potter podcast. They have gone through the books chapter by chapter. They're now doing sort of experimental stuff where they're deep diving into characters. They're doing the Prisoner of Azkaban movie 5 minutes at a time. So we'll be sure to do some sorting. I'm sure other shenanigans will happen as well, but that's going to be really fun next week with Alice and Martha as the Real Weird Sisters return to the B&B.
Woo! Yeah, I can't wait. It's been too long. I'm excited. We got to figure out some fun related shenanigans to do with them.
So if you have any related shenanigans for us to do with them or any guests, be sure to email us rhapbnb@gmail.com. That's RHAP, the letter B, the letter N, the letter B @gmail.com. A special shout out to some people that have been writing in. Apologies if we don't use your name in the week that they are introduced. We have a long season ahead of us. Fortunately, like Elizabeth Berry, for instance, really went through like a whole thing to get this game going where Liana and I would try to be given random phrases to throw in improv conversations. Maybe we'll do that at some point later on down the line, but we really do sincerely appreciate all the efforts you do with these games. As you can tell, we're trolling hunting websites. Like, we are doing the most ridiculous things on this. No thing and no game you can come up with is too ridiculous for the B&B.
They'll literally do anything. If your idea is rejected, maybe you should rethink your idea.
No. It's not rejected. It's tabled.
Okay.
We're looking under the table and we're not noping out of there. We're just saying, all right, we'll save this for another day. But we've already received some really fun games that I think we're going to put in our pocket, unlike JD's die, and use for another day.
So JD's nuts
die. Don't say that. So keep sending them in. We are so appreciative of people who are listening and sending in ideas, especially when something falls into our laps, like the secret phrases. Like this is the foundation that our jello-like structure of the B&B is built on. So we are incredibly thankful for that and our listeners. Exactly. We're bones, baby. So that's going to do it for this week on the B&B. Thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Liana. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes, and Wolf from America for this fantastic theme song. We'll be back next week with the Real Weird Sisters.
Now for my 3-minute poem about bagels.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
yes.
My
I'm
God.
Kidding. I'm kidding. Jeez, exactly. Baby.
That's the spoken word underneath it. Until next time, we'll check you out at your next day. And remember, your belly button is just your old mouth.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAPBNB. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.